Hey guys, it's Kendra.
And this is Jessica, and you're listening to
Lucid Lab.
We just came back from some really yummy lunch.
Yes.
Pizza. Pizza is always amazing.
It's like one of my favorite foods, I think.
And it's the New York style.
Yes.
Thin. It's my favorite.
It was so good. And they had like probably, what, 12 different flavors to choose from. So it was hard to decide.
I
wanted one bite of everything. But this place also gave you a sampler while you were waiting, which
is so good.
Is the way to my heart. Free food. Totally the way to my heart. So I'll be back.
But my mouth is a little spicy at the moment. I chose two spicy ones.
Yeah, that's okay.
One is really good. Jalapeno popper.
Yeah, it was a jalapeno popper pizza. And it had, that was a tongue twister to say.
jalapeno popper pizza.
It had grape jelly on top of it. And it was like melty and it was really, really yummy.
It was. And then I got a green chili.
Yes. But we're back. We are doing this two-parter.
Yep.
But we're doing it all in the same day.
Yeah.
So we took a break. Yeah, we needed to stretch our legs and honestly decompress because this is a pretty heavy, somber kind of story.
There's so much trauma.
It makes my heart hurt just to think about all of these children. And there's so much in the news right now about children being abused. And I'm just...
It's true.
It's making me just so sad and wondering, how do we protect our children?
It's so hard. Like
all children, not just my own children. Like all children like deserve to
feel safe.
Yeah. Grow up without.
Not be touched.
Yeah.
Not be hit.
It's so fucked.
Like, it's so fucked.
What is wrong with us that we want to harm our young, like as a species?
I don't know.
I don't understand
it. I don't understand it. And I just started what a lot of people have already finished and are done with, but I don't have time, but I just started that On the Set.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. I'm afraid that it's going to bring me down too much.
It's bringing me down, but I'm also already in it because I'm in this episode. So
yes.
I kind of fit along with it, but I'm just like, it's everywhere. It's freaking everywhere.
Every industry has been affected by it and it's been going on
forever.
Long, long, long time. Maybe less nowadays than it has in the past, as we're finding out with this. It's just more visible now. So I don't know. Maybe visibility will help it get better. I don't know.
I would say it's far more than it was in the past because more people who have money hide it and talk to each other and have parties about it.
Yeah, you got Epstein.
Now with Diddy and whoever's above him. And
yeah,
it's all connected. I already don't trust celebrities, but now it's like all of this stuff coming to light and it's scary.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. So we're going to go into more shit.
As like on that positive note, let's get back into more fucked up shit.
Fred and Rose West.
Tell me more.
So at the end of the last episode, we ended with talking about Lucy Partington, which was their third murder together. But the sixth overall so far.
Okay. So they had three together and then the others were, she did one on her own.
Right. So we had Anna McFall and then.
Which he did.
Yeah. He did. And then she did Charmaine.
Mm-hmm. He killed his ex-wife.
Then Rena.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had.
Three girls they killed together.
Right.
And they're still going,
And they're still going. Yep.
Or we wouldn't have a second part.
We wouldn't. So we're going to continue down the list of victims. We ended in the beginning of January 1974. So we're going to fast forward 4 months. And their next victim is 21-year-old Therese Siegenthaler. Like Lucy, she was a college student.
Okay.
Therese was born in Switzerland and came to London for her studies. She grew up speaking German, but was fluent in English, although she had a heavy accent. She was petite but fit, with brown blondish hair and glasses. She was a sociology major at Woolwich College of Further Education in Southeast London. She was living in Lewisham, 5 miles from the school. On the weekends, she worked in London's West End at a ballet shoe store.
Okay.
She was described as a, quote, highly principled and intelligent woman with firm political beliefs and considerate self-confidence. In April of 1974, she went to a party in South London. The next day, April 16th, she was planning to make her way to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to hitchhike to North Wales and take the ferry from there to Ireland, where she was planning to meet up with a priest.
Okay.
The priest, which I'm like, girl, that's a problem too.
Like, meet up with him like as a girlfriend?
No. Yeah, kind of in a way.
That's interesting.
The priest and her shared a common interest in South African politics, and I guess they just wanted to have just a chit-chat.
Okay.
Sit down and hash it all out type of thing. She never made it to North Wales.
because she was hitchhiking.
Yep. She was picked up at some point by Fred and Rose and taken back to the house. Fred gave her the nickname of Tulip because of her accent, which he mistook as
Dutch.
A Dutch accent. Yeah. Again, she was tortured like the rest. Murdered, dismembered, bones collected, and buried in the cellar.
Wow.
Her disappearance was like Lucy's. She was not a suspected runaway. She never made it to Ireland. She had plans to be back in a week. She had purchased theater tickets ahead of time and even a flight ticket back to Switzerland to visit her family later that year.
Okay.
All her money was still in her bank account, which was a good amount. She just vanished and no one could tie it back to Fred and Rose because she had no reason to go to Gloucester.
Yeah.
Cops didn't have any reason to look there.
So is Gloucester in between?
Well, they can't stop along every single place.
No, it's a long ways. We were just looking at the map on between London and where she would have been traveling to get to Wales.
Right.
And we know they love hitchhikers or bus stops.
Yep, that's where they go. So Therese was another unfortunate victim of their sick existence. After Therese, it would seem like they took a break for a little while. But one interesting event makes people question that.
Mm.
Like Fred, Rose ended up in the hospital one night on August 13th, 1974, with a really bad gash injury to her hand.
Oh.
She came up with several excuses as to what caused it. Some speculate that she started to help in the dismemberment or wanted to try. But we don't have evidence of a murder happening at this time in the home. Okay. But it is more than possible.
Yeah, these are sick ass people.
I think they committed way more murders than we know of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what was ultimately tied back to this event is that for some reason, Rose was chasing Fred throughout the house in a fit of rage with a knife in her hand.
Okay.
And he managed to run into a room and slam the door. And at the same time, she lunged at him with the knife and it went into the door and her hand slipped.
Okay. That could have happened too.
Yeah. They were crazy.
Yes. And they played sick games like that.
So maybe Rose needed a bit of time to recover or whatnot. And that brings us to November 1974. Shirley Hubbard. Shirley was born Shirley Lloyd in 1959 in Birmingham. In November of 1974, Shirley was 15 years old. She didn't have a different last name because she was married. Her parents split when she was two and for whatever reason ended up in foster care.
Wow.
Again.
Story after story.
Mm-hmm. At six, she was fostered and essentially adopted the family's name that she was fostered into. His name was Jim Hubbard.
Okay.
So she has their name. They lived in Droitwich, and she went to Droitwich High School. She was a very pretty girl, and some would say she knew it.
Okay.
She liked to flirt with the boys and some older men. She was a bit rebellious. She ran away for a bit in October and was found camping with a soldier.
Mm.
After that, she started working at the makeup counter at Debenhams in Worcester. I looked it up, and it's a department store chain over there, sort of like Macy's, but with home and garden stuff, too.
Okay.
I'm not sure how popular it is today, but it was founded in 1778, which I thought was crazy.
Yeah. We've all needed to shop from the get-go.
I know. But it's well, that's funny. Like, the UK people are probably like, yeah.
That's so not that's that long ago. That crazy. They go all the way back. That feels old to us because we're Americans.
Exactly. We haven't been around that long.
Our country wasn't even founded until right around that time.
Anyway, at this time, she also started dating a boy, Daniel Davis, who, interestingly, is the brother of Alan Davis, which was one of the West's first lodgers in the beginning, Alan and Benjamin. Otherwise, there's no connection whatsoever.
Just this strange connection.
Daniel did not know the Wests. Daniel and Shirley really got along, and it seemed like a really sweet young relationship. She really liked this boy.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the movies, had ice cream and hot dogs. They cuddled and kissed when they could. Nothing crazy. And she was even brought home to meet his parents.
Mm-hmm.
On November 11th, 1974, she was finishing up at work, excited for her date with Daniel after. They went to the River Severn for a fair and watched boats while they ate some snacks and flirted.
What you do at 15.
What you should do at 15.
Should be. Yeah. Some of the 15-year-olds in the story are not quite that innocent.
At 9:30 p.m., he walked her to the bus stop so she could get back to Droitwich. They had planned to meet up again the next day. So the next day, Daniel waited for her at the agreed time, but she didn't get off the bus. He waited for the next couple buses and she didn't show.
Aww.
He was upset and went home. He thought maybe he did something.
Yeah.
But at some point the night before, Fred and Rose got to her.
At the bus stop. Fuck.
Poor Shirley was subjected to torture that I can't even fathom. They seemed to step it up a notch with the youngest girl so far. other than family. We know this because of how her remains were found years later. So they wrapped tape around her head, like all over her head, so she couldn't
see or hear or anything. Yeah.
And then they stuck a tube. They had a little hole to stick a tube up her nose.
So she could breathe.
So that she could breathe. And they believe like this is, because there's a fetish of this where women are strapped into rubber or plastic suits that have tiny holes or very constricted, have zipped openings. Later on, a lot of this type of stuff is found at their house. Anyway, the idea is to confine the victim, making the victim helpless to resist the sex act that follows. I just can't fathom the fear of being taken.
Oh my God. And then
wrapped up in this way and breathing out of one nostril. I don't know.
A nightmare.
It's
yeah.
The violation. You can't even put yourself in this situation because you can't imagine that stuff is this
dark,
horrible and this dark.
Yeah.
After they killed her, she was dismembered and decapitated as the others. But this time she was missing part of her belly section and they don't know
what
happened to that. Not sure what he would have done with it.
Is he like, he's taking all these bones and he's trying different things each time. Is he like building a whole mannequin somewhere? Like what is he doing?
We don't know. I think that there's other locations they haven't found yet.
They were probably doing, three times as many as we find.
Yeah. She was eventually found with this entrapment still on her. Shirley was, of course, reported missing and a search for her happened, but she was never found. There was just no way to tie her back to the West.
Yeah.
There was some concern that she'd run away only because she had done it recently with that soldier boy.
Yeah.
But they also didn't believe that she did because she was happy with her job and her new boyfriend. So Shirley is now the fifth that they've buried at Cromwell and the youngest of their victims.
Hopefully it doesn't go younger.
Well, not the youngest.
Charmaine.
But the youngest murdered and buried in this home.
Mm-hmm.
The next victim was one of their on and off lodgers.
Okay.
Her name was Juanita Mott. Juanita was born in 1957. Her parents split when she was young. Her father was an American U.S. Air Force serviceman from Texas.
Watch those Texas guys.
He posted in England when he met Juanita's mother and had three children with her. Juanita had two younger sisters, Belinda and Marianne. Their parents never married.
Okay.
When her father was transferred back to the U.S., he left them behind.
That's not nice.
It's not nice.
That's why I said, watch those men from Texas.
Seriously.
Military men.
Asshole. Their mother couldn't cope after that, and she had some mental instability, and the kids ended up in foster care for a time.
Aww.
Or to stay with other family while she sorted herself out. But she always got them back as quickly as she could.
That's good.
Even the kids today, I've heard some of them talk of their mother, and she loved them to death. And
that's good.
She was she just not in a good place.
Yeah, she wasn't where she could take care of them.
But at 15, Juanita dropped out of school. I never know where to throw this in. She had long, straight brown hair as well, parted down the middle.
That was also what everybody had. And it's also England where everybody has brown hair. There's not a lot of blondes there.
Oh.
So, yeah. I always think about that with all the serial killers. Everybody did have long, straight brown hair because that's how my mom looked back in those days, too.
So did my mom.
That was just the style. So I don't know that it's necessarily.
But not brown hair. Like here, a lot of serial killers did go after just the long-haired brunettes.
Yeah. But I do think England specifically, everybody's brunette. They're only
dyed
blonde.
Don't get mad at Kendra. I don't know. I don't know the
truth. Red hair if you're from Ireland.
I'm like trying to think of the people that I've worked with from England, and I know that for a fact two of them had blonde hair, and I don't think they would have dyed it. I'm trying to think of them. Anyway, at the time, she was living with her mother and her mom's new husband. She was rebellious and would hitchhike around a lot with her friend Irene. She started to get in trouble, though, and being the oldest, the instability of her home had more of an effect on her, I think.
Yeah.
She decided that she wanted to be on her own, but before she could figure that out, she was actually kicked out.
Okay.
There are two theories of how Juanita came to be with the Wests. One is that she heard about 25 Cromwell from her boyfriend, who was prison mates with Fred.
Okay, so she's already hanging out with some questionables.
Yeah. He knew she needed somewhere to go and suggested the house because it was a cheap place to stay.
Okay.
The thought is that she was probably in and out of there for a couple of years, so the Wests were at least familiar with her.
Okay.
The other theory is she didn't know them at all.
Okay.
So
could be either one.
Either one. When she was 18, she was staying with family friends in Newent. This family friend, her name is Jennifer, was getting married on Saturday, April 12th, 1975. Juanita was going to watch her kids during the ceremony for her She would often take the bus or hitchhike to Gloucester on the weekends, and it is believed that that is what she was doing that Friday night before the wedding.
Yeah.
So Fred and Rose, or even just Fred, could have been out there, seen her, recognized her, picked her up, didn't know her, whatever, any of the options. Because it was the main road between Gloucester and Muchmarkle.
Okay, that makes sense.
If they did know her and knew her patterns, they could have planned it, could have been premeditated. Either way, she was taken back to the house. She was roped up in a constrictive, complicated way, bondage to the extreme, and she was hung from the cellar beams. A lot of times we don't know how these girls died, unless they had a specific wound to their bones.
Right.
Because a lot of these girls found were just bones.
Well, yeah, 20 something years later.
Later, some of them that are closer to still have some fleshy parts left, but most of them are bones. So she died at some point. She was dismembered. This time she was missing 80 bones.
Nah, he's building another person somewhere. I'm telling
you. But then why just hands and feet? Like, he's not taking any of the important ones.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing. Is he just building a multi-hands and feet? He has a foot fetish? I don't get this.
What if he's making a floor out of them?
Yeah, he's wanting that size of bone for something.
Something about the small bones. But he's also taking bigger ones, like the scapula.
Yeah, like he was taking the shoulder bone. That's when I said he's building a person, but
I don't know. But she had a lot. She had a lot missing. She didn't have a skull fracture or anything, so we don't know what happened. Although Anita was living somewhere else at the time, she was not considered a runaway.
Yeah.
She had a good relationship with Jennifer. She knew that Juanita would not have let her down, especially on her wedding day.
Right.
But she was never really officially listed as missing. If it was ever properly looked into, they might have uncovered fairly easily that she was connected to 25 Cromwell, if she there. Was.
Mm-hmm.
Because from that theory, it was over a couple of years people would have seen her.
Yeah.
But the connection was never made. Her family didn't consider her missing either. She would often be gone for a really long time before popping back up.
Okay.
And that's what they thought that she was doing. That was until a couple years later when her sister Belinda like really started to try and find her.
Yeah.
She thought maybe she didn't want to come home now that she was older. But, you know, she wanted to see her. So she started to try and find out where she was. It wasn't long after trying, though, that she was worried something actually happened to her. And she spent years looking into her whereabouts, even going on TV, being interviewed by magazines, newspapers, just to see if anybody had seen her.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Belinda does help in identifying her sister 16 years later.
That's tragic.
But she would have preferred a much different outcome, of course. And it's frustrating, though, because the house was frequented by the police quite often.
Why?
But it was either because of Fred stealing shit, because that's what he does.
And he sucks at it.
He sucks at it. Or the cops were there to check for drugs. As for like a long time when it was the boy lodgers, they were known to smoke weed and they'd come and check on them.
Yeah.
But nothing came from those visits and they never had any reason to search the home. Fred continued to get in trouble for theft, but again, they just keep fining him.
There's no,
It's like he keeps building it up and then finally he goes to jail for a little bit, but then he's out.
But that's not like a big enough crime.
No.
That he's like a threat to society, so they don't keep him very long,
Well, if they looked in his past, you know, rape and stuff.
We've already established nobody cares about rape or sexual assault.
We do know that.
Apparently.
No one cares.
They still don't, so.
After Juanita, they decided that they needed a better way of finding girls.
Okay.
And ensuring that those girls would be considered the type to run away.
Oh, shit.
Also more willing to come with them.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with a plan to stock a home for delinquent girls called the Jordan Brooks House in Upton Lane.
That's pretty fucked up.
This was an interesting choice, though, because it was a very strict school. There were always around 24 girls that were staying there. They had schedules and curfews. So surely one missing would immediately be noticed, but the girls had a habit of trying to escape and they did it often.
Oh, so they would just be like, whatever, she ran away.
Before this, they also picked up girls in their two-door Ford Popular or Poplar. I don't know how you guys say it over there. It's spelt popular. Okay. I'm not sure of the year and the model version, but from the ones I've seen, it's very British looking. But at this point, Fred had purchased himself a Ford Transit van.
Oh, so he now you're full-on creeper.
To serial killer, truly.
He's got the murder van.
Much easier to do his construction jobs out of, but much easier to abduct and carry bodies in. So Fred and Rose started to frequent the area near the school. And instead of offering them rides, they decided to take another approach this time. Instead, they would build friendships with the girls and invited them over for snacks and tea. They wouldn't immediately take them. They want them to be influenced to come back to them on their own accord.
So it became like a new game.
That way, inside Jordan Brooks' house, there would be talk of the nice couple who does nice things for the girls at the home and not discussed as people other girls would warn to stay away from.
So they had a long-term strategy with this.
Yep. And the plan worked. And word even spread to other similar children's homes.
That's scary.
Girls would transfer from place to place. This brings us to another victim of theirs, but it's another one that got away, thank God.
Okay.
We'll call her Jane. Her identity in this case is protected by court order.
Okay.
Jane came from a broken home, and she was sexually abused by both her father and her brother. She was placed into a children's home at 13 and learned about the Wests. She visited there with a friend one day and really liked Rose. Rose, with her past and having stayed in a similar home once, had a way of connecting with the girls and earning their trust.
Yeah.
And by this point, she's still really young. She's in her early 20s.
Yeah, so she seems like the cool older sister.
Exactly. Rose told Jane she could stop by anytime if she ever needed someone to listen to her. In the summer of 1976, Jane moved to Jordan Brooks' house, but was allowed to travel home to see her mother every few weeks. And every time she did that, she would stop by to see Rose.
Okay.
Technically, by this point, Jane knew Rose for a year or two because now she was 15 and one day she ran away from Jordan's and went to the house. But this time it wasn't the Rose she knew.
Uh-oh.
Rose answered the door in her underwear. Jane went in, ignoring the fact for a moment, and started to unload on Rose, you know, everything she was going through. Rose gave her a hug, but immediately started touching her.
Ew.
Touching her breasts and trying to kiss her. Jane pushed her away. Thankfully, that night, Rose wasn't in an abusive mood.
Okay.
So she let Jane sleep there. The next day, she went back to Jordan's and didn't tell anyone what happened, which she should have.
Yeah.
After a few weeks, she thought maybe it wasn't that bad and maybe Rose was just in a state. So she tried to go see her again. She also wondered about her own sexuality.
Okay.
Maybe I do like girls.
Okay.
Maybe I need to go figure this out. And she had grown to trust Rose as an older sister of sorts, like you said. So she went there and she did sleep with Rose.
Okay.
When Jane got up to use the restroom, she heard Rose yell to Fred. When she came out, Rose pushed her into another room.
Uh-oh.
She was shocked to see two naked young girls in the room.
Oh, no.
One was about 14. She was blonde and one a bit older. One was on the bed and one was on the floor. One by one, the girls were taped up and horrifically sexually assaulted by both Fred and Rose until they bled.
Oh, my God.
They had to watch each other. They were in pain. They were numb. Jane was allowed to use the restroom after her assault, in which she used the chance to just flee from the home.
Good. Get
she
the
left
fuck out.
Her shoes and she ran.
I would run naked. Just get out of there.
She couldn't tell anyone. No one would believe her, you know, she thought, because she was a troubled kid. They don't believe the troubled kids.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, one day, she was determined to burn down their home.
Oh, I wish she could.
She grabbed gasoline from the Jordan's groundskeeper shed and walked to the house, but she stood in the front and ultimately couldn't find the nerve to do it.
Yeah. Who are those other two girls, I wonder?
It's thought that one of the girls in that room was Fred's daughter, Anna Marie.
Oh, shit.
Anna Marie was 12 at the time.
Oh.
And could have been mistaken for older, because she said they seemed around 14. The abuse this little girl has endured is beyond...
It's unimaginable.
The things I read, like, I just can't repeat it.
Yeah.
But the bruising and scratches were so much that Rose told Anna Marie not to participate in showering at school, like when they had gym.
Yeah.
But the girls were required to shower.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't. She got in trouble and was forced to shower one day. A teacher saw and social services...
Did nothing like
were
usual.
Were contacted. And when Anna Marie got home that day, a woman was there talking to Rose.
Yeah.
She was made to get them tea and snacks. She doesn't know what was said, but the lady ended up leaving. And as she put it, I had the biggest hiding in my life. So she beat her even more. She was Rose's personal punching bag just because she wasn't her child. Her father, of course, constantly raped her still, but he never lasted more than a minute, so she kind of put up with it.
Yeah.
It was Rose's sick, sadistic mind that made life a living hell. She beat her, and if the bruises were too bad or visible, she would just keep her home from school.
Wow.
But Fred abused his own daughter to appease his fucked up wife. He created a chastity belt for her that had a vibrator, and they would make her wear it all day while cleaning.
What?
And they involved their other children in humiliating her sometimes. And it was just all because Anna Marie wasn't biologically Rose's. Rose also made her go down on her.
Ew.
Yeah. Eventually, Anna Marie was expelled from school for becoming a problem child because she started to act out at school. You know, she was a bit of a bully herself at times. But if they only knew what she was dealing with at home, she was supposed to be safe there. And once she was out of school, Rose started prostituting her in the home for men and saying that she was 18 or something like that. Not that they would have cared.
No.
These men.
These men would probably want to know she was younger.
Sex in certain rooms of the house were constant. For the room that Anna Marie was made to take customers was also where Rose would take customers sometimes. And of course, there was peepholes for Fred.
Ew.
And they installed some kind of light outside the door that was turned on whenever this was happening, so the other kids knew not to go in there. But even after all this, Anna Marie, she still loved her dad.
Yeah.
You know, she knew nothing else. She loved him because he barely hit her. His slaps came when she refused to call Rose mother.
Okay.
But loving her father meant being his sexual plaything whenever he wanted. She would sometimes go to work with him, and if he wanted sex, they would climb into the back of the van and he would just take her whenever he wanted. She still considered it rape. She wasn't in DeLulu land.
She's not that lost.
She wasn't that lost. She understood it was cruel.
Mm-hmm.
But she also knew Fred was scared of Rose.
Yeah.
He would make Anna Marie promise not to tell Rose when he raped her.
Oh, wow.
And would give her like gifts and treats.
That's fucked.
It seemed like Fred was only allowed to do things with Rose's permission.
He was like living in her shadow too.
Yeah. It definitely, the power dynamic shifted. He still raped girls regardless. He just didn't tell her. But I think if it was ever done in a way that had a possibility of getting back to Rose,
he was afraid
and he would cry and make them promise. Yeah, Rose definitely had the power at this point. And Rose controlled all the money, too.
Okay.
All of it. Any money Fred made when he was working, he would just have to hand it over to her. And she gave him like an allowance for cigarettes.
Wow.
And something, if you haven't caught on yet, unlike with Rena, Fred never laid a hand on Rose.
Yeah, he didn't.
He does not abuse her. She abuses him. The only time that he ever touches her in one way is when she wants it during
sex
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she wears the pants.
Now. She wears all the pants now. All of them. Or none at all. She prefers nakedness. That's what she does. Now we're in 1977. So we kind of need to orient ourselves because it's a long story.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the Wests are currently living on the bottom floor of this house. The top two floors are for lodgers.
Okay.
They had their own bathrooms and kitchens on each floor.
Okay.
So most of the lodgers, they didn't see the family all that much.
Okay.
And most of them were now girls.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm. And most didn't stay long. It really was a place that you kind of came for a couple of months sometimes and then would leave.
Okay.
So having the girls, you know, it gave them a pick sometimes of who they might want to sleep with or kill.
Right.
But also it meant less cops coming by. Because the boys drugs. Were causing a ruckus before and the cops would come by too much. Fred was now 35.
Okay.
Rose is 23. Anna Marie is 12. Heather is 5. May is 4. And Stephen is 3.
Okay.
Fred's other son, Stephen, he left at some point.
He's not there anymore.
He went back to Scotland. Fred and Rose started an open relationship with one of these lodgers. One of the girls that was staying there. Her name is Shirley Ann Robinson.
Okay.
Since we have two Shirleys, we had Shirley Hubbard. I'm going to call her Shirley Ann.
Okay.
Shirley Ann was born in 1959 in Leicestershire or Rutland County. I found both. They do neighbor each other, so either one.
Okay.
But her father was a corporal in the Royal Air Force. With his work, she fell into delinquency at a young age, becoming a prostitute at 13.
Aww.
She was taken to stay in children's homes, but by the age of 18 was prostituting again in Gloucester, which is how she met Rose and came to live at the house.
Okay.
This was in April of 1977. She was bisexual and was not turned off by their advances. At first, Fred and Rose were ecstatic to have a lover that they could truly share. And Rose was pregnant again.
Ugh, stop it.
This time by one of her customers.
Oh.
I don't know how she knew.
Yeah.
But whatever. But they were both excited about it because it was going to be a mixed baby. They were excited.
Something different.
Something about the two of them that I haven't mentioned. They were obsessed with Black and West Indian people.
Okay.
Specifically, they considered them to be superior. So the idea of having a mixed race baby excited them.
Okay.
That's not the case for Charmaine.
Yeah, she was Asian, right?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So anyway, Rose is pregnant again, and Fred was really cozying up to Shirley.
Uh-oh, she's going to get jealous.
It's several months later now, and boom, now Shirley is pregnant.
By Fred.
By Fred. At first, Rose was super happy about that, too. They would boast to everyone, lodgers and neighbors, about their pregnancies and who the fathers were, and that they would raise them together. But Shirley was getting too comfortable. And Rose would catch Fred and her gently kissing from time to time.
Wow.
And him touching her belly.
Okay.
And that anger towards her stirred for some time. At some point, Shirley and Fred came up with the idea to sell their baby. Don't know why.
Okay.
They went and had professional photos taken to put in the newspaper as an ad.
This is weird.
I have okay, this bizarre. Picture. I don't know. They're just all fucked up.
What's in the water?
But Shirley, lots of toxins.
This river going through there has something.
Yeah. Shirley sent this photo to her father.
Okay.
Since they were all done up and looking nice, she told her father that she was going to marry him. It's probably like the only time he looked respectable or something. Rose overheard Fred telling her, too, that you're going to be my next wife.
Oh, shit.
But when Shirley started to tell other people in the home and tell neighbors just that, Fred started to realize he took things too far with her.
He's like, Rose is going to kill me.
No one could ever take Rose's place, and something had to be done about it. Rose gave birth to another daughter.
Shit.
On December 9th, 1977. This is Tara Jane. She was mixed race, and we don't know who the father is. They said that they were the happiest they had ever been when she was born because of her coloring. But that does not translate into love towards child.
Oh, of course not. No, she's just exotic, and now they have to do horrible things to the exotic child, probably.
Yeah. At some point, it was made known to Shirley that things had changed, and she was now a problem because she did move into one of the rooms with another lodger and tried to stay away from Fred and Rose.
Okay.
Her baby was due June 11th, 1978, but she would never reach that date, and she would not give birth. Similar to Anna McFall, she was murdered for getting in the way and causing problems between Fred and his wife and his then wife, I guess. It is unclear who killed her or how. They suggest probably strangulation. Unlike all of the other dismemberments, hers was brutal.
Oh, no.
And seemed to have been done with like a different level of passion. It was not as clean. There were many marks found all over her bones.
So maybe Rose did that?
Maybe. Or he's mad he had to get rid of another one that he liked.
Maybe that's it too.
You know? Because he has this weird connection to whoever he's with. Rose was able to find her way above Rena, and then Rena went away.
Yes.
You know? And Anna only went away because Rena came back.
Right.
He took a collection of bones like he always does. But it is believed she may have been scalped as well. Which makes it seem very personal because all the other girls were found with hair. Hair can last for decades.
Did they find her hair?
She does not have hair. And so she had hair before. So that's why
building,
they think
he's building a person.
Oh, no.
Fuck. He's keeping the favorite parts of each victim and building a Frankenstein.
Like I said, most of them are small little bones, unless he's making him with all small bones.
I don't know. One day I hope this is found in some like little shack in the woods or whatever. He's doing something.
Doing something.
And he took her hair because he liked her and he wanted her hair. Ugh.
And it is thought that the baby was cut out in hopes that it would still be alive because the baby was almost a term. She was 8.5 months pregnant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But like with Anna McFall, the baby was found nestled to her body in the grave, also missing several small bones. Shirley was buried in the backyard instead of the cellar.
They were running out of space.
It's interesting like how he chooses. Yeah. I think she needed a bigger grave.
Okay.
With Shirley's sudden disappearance, they told the other lodgers that she moved back to Germany to be with her father and probably wasn't coming back. A month later, they extended their lie and tried to add some more validity to it or whatever by saying that Shirley had reached out. She had a little boy and named him Barry.
Okay.
She was never reported missing and no one ever looked for her. Little did the lodgers know her body was
right
behind
there.
The back door outside. Yeah. So fucking scary. I was watching a short interview, like a little snippet from a woman who lived at this house during the time that Shirley Ann was there and pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually her best friend.
Okay.
I don't have her name. She showed her face, but her name was not listed. So she said that she had an amazing childhood, but her dad died. And when she was 14, she didn't know how to cope with that. And that's when she started to rebel. So it wasn't a bad household. She knew Anna Marie when she was 16. She told Anna Marie that she wanted to try living on her own. And Anna Marie mentioned that her parents have rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she ended up there. And this is around October 1977. She became best friends with already pregnant Shirley Ann after moving in. She used to babysit every now and then for Fred and Rose as well. Seems like they all do.
Yes.
From her experience there, Fred and Rose seemed like the perfect couple.
Ugh, that's scary.
I know. They can pull this shit off. They never fought in front of anyone. Fred, she said, was a perfect gentleman, but that Rose was very harsh with the kids, especially Anna Marie.
Yeah.
She said she got the feeling that the rest of the kids were Anna Marie's kids, not Rose's.
Much possible.
And that's because she made Anna Marie do everything for her younger siblings. And if she didn't, she was beaten.
Yeah, she had no choice.
Right. This woman, who was a teenager at the time, of course, ended up leaving after hearing something that scared her. She heard Heather screaming, "Stop it, Daddy, stop it."
Heather?
Heather. And she heard this several nights in a row.
Okay.
And when she tried asking one of the other siblings what that was about, their response was, "It's what he does. He feels he has the right to break his daughters in."
Oh my God.
Heather was 8 at the time.
That's the age he seems to.
Yep.
Well, no, one of them he started at 4.
That was Charmaine.
Yeah.
I don't know if he raped her.
Yeah.
She was being sexually assaulted, but I don't know if he raped her. But this girl, she left after that. She thought about doing something, but she was a runaway. She didn't think anyone would believe her, and she was scared to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
She arranged to leave without telling them, which is smart.
Yeah.
She told them the day she left. She was supposed to keep in touch with Shirley Ann, and she did go back to the house after some time. And Shirley was supposed to have had the baby at this point. And when, you know, she asked for her, they're like, oh, she just left.
She's gone.
And yeah. She's like, that doesn't make any sense. So to this day, she regrets not helping Heather and not helping Shirley Ann.
Yeah.
She feels responsible kind of for both.
But if she had tried to get in there, she could have ended up dead. So
she could have.
Easily.
Yep.
She didn't realize how dangerous those people really were.
Right. It's very true. Dealing with them in general is a risk.
Yes.
So let's go back. Shirley's gone now. Fred and Rose, they're all happy again.
Okay. They got a new baby.
New baby. So they needed to bring in some more income again. Rose posted an ad in the newspaper that said, "Sexy housewife needs it deep and hard from VWE. Very well endowed.
Oh, okay.
Male while husband watches. Coloreds welcome."
That's nice.
"You can only come if you have a really big dick," is what she's saying.
And she's looking for ethnic men.
And they have to be okay being watched by her husband. This is very specific. Well, men are men, right?
So, and there's lots of men
that
are like...
Some like to do that.
Yeah.
And a true business really kind of started for her. Fred installed a special doorbell that was just for her customers.
Okay.
That they were instructed to use. And outside, it was labeled by her working name, which was Mandy.
Mandy.
He also installed baby monitors in the room so that he could listen to all the sex being had. Oh, and not that I want to throw this in there, but I have to because I kind of alluded to it earlier in part one, I think, is her father. He was a decently regular client of hers.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. I told you, it went into adulthood. This time he was just paying his daughter for it.
Wow.
I just don't even know what to say.
My face is just staring at you like, I don't know. My eyes just get wide.
I don't know what to say with half of the shit I'm telling you guys right now. I feel weird.
It's like this whole seedy underbelly of society that still exists to this day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's just so depraved.
It is. I don't know. I don't understand. There's no way to grasp.
We cannot rationalize everything, but I...
What is happening?
I cannot fathom a lot of this.
Nope. Because it's not natural.
No. It's like there is something definitely wrong in the chemistry of their brains.
We do know that.
For sure.
For both. For all.
I mean, he said has had like 1,000 times. Fred did.
Rose was cooked in the womb and her father is schizo. So.
That's true. She was doomed from the beginning.
All right. So moving on. Not to anything better, but moving on. It was around this time that a young lady by the name of Jill Britt came to live at 25 Cromwell.
Okay.
Nothing happened to her, thankfully. but it's just a viewpoint from a lodger who had more access.
Okay.
Okay. She was 16 or 17 years old and left home. She wanted more independence. And the first place she rented was a small room with just a bed and a sitting area. And it's referred to as a bed sit.
Okay.
She didn't have the independence she wanted, though. And that's the whole reason why she left. She couldn't have friends over. She wasn't allowed to stay out late. She's like, ugh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's the point?
This isn't the plan.
Someone let her know about a room open at 25 Cromwell where she would have more freedom. At first, she had amazing freedom. She loved it there. She was all about music and rebellion. She would play her music really loud and do anything she could to get to concerts, hitchhike, trespass on trains, etc. They were living in the 70s, right?
Yes.
The Wests weren't sticklers on rent being due either.
Okay.
So that was nice. You know, she could be a little bit late.
Mm-hmm.
She had kind of a joking relationship with Fred when she would see him. She didn't know what they were really doing, obviously.
He was a fucking sicko.
She remembers one day watching him grab something from his work van out front. It was a large rolled up carpet.
Mm.
And she made a joke to him like, oh, you got a body wrapped up in there? Or something probably. Like that. And he just joked back and took it down to the cellar. So,
oh, he probably did. And it's probably one we don't know about.
Yep. She didn't really think anything of Fred, but Rose was another story. So many people have so much to say about Rose.
Yeah, she's a special lady.
They lived in separate parts of the home. There were different entrances for the lodgers versus the family. But when anybody needed to do their laundry, they did have to go through the house where the family was, because that's the only place where there was laundry. So she knocked on the door. It's the only way to go in. And Rose always made everyone really uncomfortable because she's always dressed in like see-through lingerie, never wearing underwear. She would come and sit with her in the laundry room and prop her leg up intentionally, like with all her little lady bits just hanging out.
Special.
Special. Yucky shivers. She said over time, she did become more aware of Rose's sex work.
Okay.
People would come really late at night and ring the doorbell. Her and her roommate would peek out to see Fred taking men to what was referred to as Rose's room.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes one, sometimes more men at the same time. They would hear the sex going on, sometimes screams from the men, but never ever thought that it was more than that because she doesn't hurt the men.
No.
She only hurts the women.
Yeah.
They just figured that Fred and Rose were just very, very open with their marriage. She had no idea the danger she was living in there. And the only reason she had that bed was because the previous female tenant disappeared.
Shirley Ann. Mm.
She also heard Rose yelling at the children often and calling them really obscene names like, you fucking bitch. And like, she was just appalled. Even being a runaway herself and her having given her mom a hard time. She's like, my mother would never talk to me that way, ever. So she was definitely put off by that. She didn't see the abuse then because she was on a different floor. But she said she could hear stuff because there was always some kind of movement and kids crying when Rose was yelling.
Mm-hmm.
She never heard Fred yelling at the kids, though.
Okay.
She said the only really scary time for her specifically was when she was approached by John, Fred's brother.
Okay.
Remember, John is the younger brother. John visited often, and one day she went down to pay rent, and he came up behind her and pressed her up against the wall with his body and put his arms on either side. He held her there for a couple of minutes and made a joke to Fred along the lines of like, what are we going to do with this one, Fred? And she sort of laughed it off and
like,
eventually was released, but she ran up to her room just terrified.
Yeah.
Grown ass man holding you against the wall.
No, I would be like, time to pack my stuff.
But she had roommates and she couldn't bail on them. So it wasn't enough for her to leave at the time. But she made an effort to just never be seen by John, if possible, and to stay away if he was ever at the house.
Right.
And I bring this up because we are going to talk about John later. Because
he's fucked up too, I'm guessing.
Yes. Okay. He was definitely a violent rapist as well.
Awesome.
Jill did have an experience with Anna Marie as well. Anna Marie came to her door one day. Kids weren't supposed to go up to where the lodger's rooms were, but for whatever reason, Anna Marie did and went into her room looking for help. Jill didn't understand what she was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
She told her about Rose, that Rose was her stepmom, not her real mom. She said she couldn't wait to leave. And Jill was saying, oh, once you're 16, you can get out of here. Anna Marie randomly stood up and took off her blouse and showed Jill all of the bruises.
Oh, shit.
Jill didn't really understand what she was looking at or that she was showing it to her because it was torture. Like, she wasn't grasping it in that way. She was just like, put your shirt back on. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? She just remembers being a kid herself. A lot of people ask her, do you regret not doing something that day? And she's like, I was a kid too.
She
like,
didn't know.
I really wasn't understanding what was going on. Now I do, obviously.
Yeah.
But then I didn't. Jill was also friends with Belinda Mott,
which was
Juanita's little sister. This is 3 years later, though. Okay. So one day, Belinda had gone to see Jill with no idea that her sister that she's been looking for is buried in the cellar of this home she's visiting her at. And it was Belinda's first time there. Like, she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But just to mention Jill, she had some interesting connections at this place and she lived to tell the tale.
And she probably is haunted by that.
She is. But at the same time, she's like, I have to move on. Like, I'm not going to blame myself.
She couldn't have done anything. Once again, like I said, like if she had gotten involved, she could have ended up being a victim.
Yep.
Just like anyone else who survived lodger wise. Because they have lots of lodgers that never got in trouble with them.
Right. Back to Rose and her many pregnancies because, surprise, surprise, she's pregnant again.
Of course she is. Because there's no birth control still. She doesn't even like the children she has.
I know, she doesn't.
She's horrible to them. I don't get why they keep having babies. And she has a husband who is more than happy to give her an abortion.
I know. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's one of his side hobbies. So
she must have conceived like within a couple of months after Tara was born.
Well, yeah, because they're having sex all the time.
All the time, which makes it impossible to know if it's Fred's.
Yeah, she has no clue whose it is.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know what you're going to get when that baby comes out.
You don't. Rose gave birth to another daughter on November 17th.
Oh, stop making more girls.
1978, Louise. And there was immediately some doubt as to whether Fred was the father or not. I don't think he was the father of any
probably
moving
half
forward.
The babies.
Skip to the next year, and Fred got his daughter pregnant in 1979.
Oh, which one? Anna Marie?
Anna Marie.
Oh.
He was still raping her any chance he got. I'm not sure if he was sexually assaulting any of the other kids regularly just yet, but he would make the same claims his dad used to. I made you. You're my flesh and blood. I'm entitled to touch you.
Ew. Well, we know he was touching Heather.
Yes, we do know Heather. But now there's so many. Like, I just don't know if he's doing anything.
He's just waiting for them to get old enough. That's all.
Yeah. The pregnancy was not good, though. It began in her fallopian tube and required termination. Hopefully she didn't want her father's baby, but you never know.
You don't know.
From the sounds of it, was also back in school, and the teachers around this time noticed more bruises and reported it.
Yeah, but nobody does anything.
Mm-mm. Rose managed to make the officer go away, thinking everything was okay again. And Anna was beat again.
Probably offered him sex.
I think it might have been a girl.
The police officer?
Oh, yeah. The welfare officer. But still, she probably did, too.
Offered her sex, too. She offered everyone sex.
A little insert here about Rose's father. So Bill Letts. Slash customer.
He's such
a
charmer.
He did continue to beat up Daisy as well. You know, her mother.
Yeah.
Until his death, he beat her up.
Wow.
But on May 24th, 1979, he died at the age of 60. See, I'm picturing him as like an 80-year-old man, but he
Rose is
just
only 25
60.
Right now, probably.
Fred and Rose went to the funeral. She loved her dad. She never stopped loving her dad.
Yeah.
But the rest of the family was essentially there to say good riddance. They didn't even give him a headstone. Daisy was finally free. She didn't want to remember any part of her history with him.
Yeah, she was
free. She needed to finally live. She gave every photo of the family and Bill to Rose. Every single one.
She's like, take it. I don't want to act like this ever happened.
She didn't want to be reminded of a single day. She lived in terror for 37 years. How she even survived,
I don't know,
is insane.
She's a shell of a person at this point.
And remember, it wasn't until after Bill died that Daisy found out that Bill was a schizophrenic.
Right.
She only looked into it because a journalist asked her questions about him.
And
she's
like, huh, that kind of makes sense.
I'm going to go check his records. What the fuck?
This explains it all.
Yeah. For Fred and Rose, regardless of funerals, babies, work, anything, it was never enough for these two to stop from furthering their black cloud on this earth. Allison Chambers would be their next victim. and she went by Allie.
Okay. Nothing was going to get in their way.
No, it's like, I don't even know how they have time for all the sex and all the pregnancies and
the energy, all the abuse.
And then he's working.
And she's a working lady.
She's a working lady. There's all these kids. I don't know.
Their schedule was packed full.
Yes, it was. So Allie was born in Hanover, Germany in 1962. Her father, Robert Chambers, like Shirley Ann, was in the armed services. I don't have her mother's name, but they divorced at some point and she went to live with her mother in Wales.
Okay.
As a teenager, she was constantly running away and taken by social services and placed in Jordan's Brook House.
Mm.
She managed to run away from there too once and got pretty far before being found and returned. Allison was pretty withdrawn as a child and bullied by other kids. She spent her days daydreaming, drawing, and writing poetry. But she did make a couple of friends, her roommate Sharon Compton and another girl named Anne. Anne was familiar with the Wests. One day, the three snuck out to go see a movie and Anne took them back to 25 Cromwell.
Mm.
Allison really liked them.
Of course, they all do.
She gave the girls snacks and some tea. A couple weeks later, the girls snuck out again and went there, this time staying the night.
Mm-mm.
Rose manipulated Allison into believing that she and Fred owned a farmhouse that Allison could live at once she was 17 and not required to be under care anymore. She gave Allison a picture from a magazine and told her that that was their land.
Okay.
Allison believed it and went back to Jordan's just like excited and dreamed about being on the farm. Unable to wait any longer, she packed up what little belongings she had and escaped to go live with Fred and Rose on August 5th, 1979, which was 4 weeks before her 17th birthday. That same day, she mailed a letter to her mother to tell her that she was going to be a nanny for a very homely family on a farm and to look after their 5 children and that one of them was around her age and already saw her as an older sister.
Mm.
It's not known what happened when she got there, but we can imagine.
Yeah.
They probably let her take care of the kids for a couple days.
Yep.
Advanced her sexually. She either accepted or refused, but she was ultimately murdered.
You don't have an option. When they come on, you're doing it one way or the other.
Instead of being buried in the cellar, she was buried in the backyard garden next to the bathroom extension Fred built. At this point, Fred was no longer burying people in the cellar. I think he did run out of room.
Yeah, it's not that big.
He turned it into a workshop for himself, and half of it was like this playroom for the kids.
The cellar?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird because it's a dingy, dark, dirt
floor. Yeah.
Cool playroom.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he was still dismembering down there.
Yeah, that's his workshop.
Yep. Which we'll talk about because I think that there's somewhere else they might have been doing some of this too.
Okay.
Allie was reported missing the day she left Jordan's Brook House, and her mother thought that she was helping by turning in that letter she sent to police, but police stopped looking for her.
Mm.
With it having been so close to her 17th birthday, she was ultimately discharged from care on paper, and with that,
nobody cared.
She wasn't on the missing persons list. So that's Allison. We're going to go back to Anna Marie now, because around this time, she was done. She was done putting up with everything.
And she's old enough to move out.
Her father used to not hurt her, really.
Yeah.
Other than raping her. But the older she got, he became increasingly abusive. At times, he did match Rose's viciousness with her. Once kicking her in the face with a steel-toed boot.
Ouch.
While Rose laughed. She just is laughing all the time. This fucking woman.
Yeah.
She had a sick feeling in her gut that once she turned 16, life would be increasingly worse for her. She didn't know why. She had already experienced the unthinkable.
Right.
She was even impregnated by her own father.
And they were prostituting her out to random men.
But she was worried that if she didn't leave before 16.
That she'd end up dead.
But if she left before 16 and the authorities found her, because they have to look for you, I guess.
Oh.
Before a certain age, they would bring her back and it would be the same thing. She'd be beat or killed. I don't know, but she just felt it deep in her core that she needed to leave, and she did.
Good.
Right before her 16th birthday. Anna Marie was the focus of their beatings, sexual assault, and torture. They didn't have her.
They had to turn to someone else.
Which of their other children should take her place? Yeah.
The second oldest.
They were all abused, but never to the extent of Anna Marie. And Rose was pregnant again.
Of course. Of course. I'm never surprised. I'm just assuming Rose is pregnant all the time now.
I know.
She always has a bun in the oven. How old is the next oldest, Heather? Is that?
Yes. 10.
So she's not very old really at all.
No. Rose, so we're kind of skipping forward a little bit. So she's pregnant. She had been pregnant for a little bit here, but she gave birth to...
Another daughter?
No, a boy.
Okay, good.
On June 16th, 1980... He looked a little bit more like Fred. And I'd say that this is a fucked up way of spitting on Shirley Ann's grave because they made up this name for her baby that never lived, but they named this baby Barry.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is weird. So yeah, that left Heather Ann to pick on. She was 10. She looked like her mother did at her age. So she kind of looked like Rose.
Okay.
She had dark eyes, thick black hair. Despite her childhood and everything she witnessed, she was smart and she did really well in school. She was a serious child, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Fred didn't care for her, of course. Called her names often. Then there was May, who is now 8. Heather and May shared a room. May was Rose's favorite child.
Which probably doesn't mean much. She probably still abused her.
No. Next was Steve, Fred's favorite child. Okay. Again, doesn't
matter. First boy. Still abused.
He was 7, and he did have Fred's bright blue eyes as well.
Okay.
Then we have Tara, Louise, and Barry, who were all considered to be Rose's children because paternity is unknown.
So working children.
The children were not allowed to talk to adults or play with other children. They couldn't risk one of the kids saying something to someone, so they kept close tabs on them at all times and busied their days with chores. The older children were fully aware of their mother's prostitution. They were absolutely terrified of her. If you stepped out of line in any small way, they said she would go mad with rage.
Ugh.
She kept baby monitors in their rooms to hear what they were saying to each other.
Mm-hmm.
One night, I believe it was Christmas Eve, so I know they never got presents ever, like except one year. She must have heard something she didn't like because she barges into the room and takes Heather, May, and Steve and throws them outside in the snow where they had to stay for 3 hours.
Wow.
Before she let them back in and beat them again.
They're like, let me just freeze to
death. Don't even know what it was for. Like in the middle of the night, she just goes and gets them and throws them outside.
Wow.
Like I said, Fred rarely hit the kids. So I think like Anna Marie, though, the kids had some love for him.
Mm-hmm.
But really, for the most part, he ignored them.
Yeah.
Unless he was raping them.
That was the only attention they got.
Yep. And he was gone all day at work. He was now working as a general laborer at a factory. And he would sometimes just come home for dinner and then leave right away to go do general maintenance stuff for landlords in the area. So he was constantly working.
Okay.
And constantly stealing stuff. He finally got in trouble in October of 1980.
He did.
Rather than a fine. Well, he was fine too, but he was sentenced to 9 months in prison again, although it was suspended for 2 years. Not sure why. Probably because Rose just had a baby again. And
maybe.
It's like she's always pregnant, so they can always use that excuse. But she's pregnant.
Just keep getting her pregnant and you'll never go to jail.
We have so many kids.
I'm just a good father that never sees his kids or does anything with them except rapes them.
Ultimately, the next oldest, Heather Ann, did take most of the beatings.
Mm.
At school, she started to wear clothes that covered her body.
Because she was getting bruised.
Even in the peak of heat. Like Anna Marie, years before, she started to get in trouble for not showering at the gym.
Yeah.
Others then saw the bruises all over her body. I don't know why nothing was done or said then, but she probably begged her classmates not to say anything.
Because it would just mean more beatings at home.
Like. Right. At this point, Fred had also turned to her for his sexual needs.
Oh, shit.
Even May.
Well, she was 8.
Started with May. Yeah. Yep, she was 8 now. They both tried to keep him off of them, but Fred was incessant. When he was home, he took every chance he could to like see them naked. So they would keep guard for each other, like if they're taking a shower.
These poor kids.
Not that they could stop him, but it made them feel, I think, like they were trying to do something.
Yeah.
That's just so fucked up to have to stand guard for them so your father doesn't look at you naked.
I can't imagine. Like, I just can't.
The abuse with Heather went on for another year and a half before Anna Marie came back into the picture, actually.
Oh.
She met a man, Chris Davis, and they lived together. They actually met via CB radio chatting. This is a thing.
That was like the old school AOL chat.
Yeah. Before Anna Marie first left the house, he knew what was happening to her there. And it was Chris that she ran to at 15 when she escaped.
Ran away. Okay.
After some time, she started taking tranquilizer drugs to forget all the mm-hmm. things that she had been through. But that coupled with what seemed like now a fear of sex.
Oh, yeah.
She started having trouble being intimate with him.
Yeah.
So she sought psychiatric help, but I'm assuming she couldn't really explain why she had the issues, because if the psychiatrist knew why and that person knew that she had younger siblings, they would have to report that.
I would think so.
You would think so. But due to money issues, Anna Marie and Chris were evicted from their flat and they moved into 25 Cromwell in 1982. She made him promise to never leave her alone.
Yeah, so she couldn't get raped again.
And they only stayed for a few weeks. Okay. So it was just so that they could find another place. But while they were there, Chris developed like a soft spot for Heather because he could tell that she was going through something.
Okay.
I'm assuming he's smart enough to know is probably what Anna Marie had gone through.
Yeah.
She's the oldest now, but she didn't say anything to him at the time. Are you ready? Surprise.
He's going to hook up with her sister.
Rose is pregnant again.
Oh. I'm like, what?
No, he forgot. Doesn't hook up with the
sister. I was still on the sister and brother thing. No, yeah, of course, Rose is pregnant again. This is number 8.
I can't even keep track
anymore. I can't keep track of all the
kids. I've read this story for weeks and I still can't keep track. This is April 13th, 1982, and she gave birth to Rosemary West Jr.
Uh-oh, that girl has gotten the worst
moniker
ever. And
she had darker skin, so she was definitely not Fred's.
The last four are not Fred's.
No.
It sounds like maybe Fred and Rose aren't even having sex at this point. If he keeps turning to his kids.
Not enough. Yeah.
And she's wanting satisfaction from VWEs, which may not be Fred.
Maybe it's not. No one ever talked about his wiener size. Not that I want to know.
I have no.
I do not want to know.
I saw what he looked like. I do not care.
He's kind of like a mixture between, who did I say?
Said Richard Simmons and Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Richard Simmons and Billy Crystal. The big gap between the teeth.
He's not attractive.
Well, so we know now that Fred is raping Heather.
Yeah.
May, probably.
Mm-hmm.
She acted out. She began smoking, drinking alcohol, stealing shit to cope with the abuse. She was still a really good kid. So it was like a blip of a moment, I guess. In August of 1982, she got in trouble with the law. But because of her age, it didn't go to court.
Okay.
She might have been safer in jail.
Probably. For sure.
Maybe they should have taken her. And by this time, she hated all men. Boys included. Just the male gender.
I mean, how could you not if that was your whole exposure?
And it's your father.
Your own dad.
Yeah. She even escaped a school camping trip once just because there were male teachers that went on the same trip.
Yeah, she's afraid.
Yeah. Fred and Rose decided she must be a lesbian.
Yeah, that's why.
Which pissed them off, which made no sense because Rose
is a lesbian,
bisexual, and she only did bad things to girls. But no, Heather being a lesbian was really, really bad.
Okay. I don't get it.
Really, really bad. I don't really know what happened over the next year because that's kind of missing. Surely stuff did.
Mm-hmm.
But come July 16th, 1983. You ready?
Yes.
Rose gave birth to another child.
Fucking stop. Oh my God. I can't. Does Rose have a fetish with being pregnant?
I don't. I think she does.
There has to be something
because
there.
Because there's something about being powerful and hurting people when you're pregnant is how I'm seeing how she is looking at it.
Fred said something about she was only like that when she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So she likes the hormones or something.
Maybe.
Her body has to be so.
It's so weird that she is so into sex after giving birth so many times.
Like, you don't want to have sex right after having babies, usually.
I don't know.
Your body needs some time to recover.
Not her. But this was another daughter, again.
Mm-mm.
Luciana, again, not Fred's.
I was about to say.
Not Fred's. I don't know. After this birth, Rose's temper was even worse somehow.
Mm, yeah.
The children were constantly beat by her, and she always found the cruelest of ways to go about it. Beatings from Fred were still rare, but they did happen on occasion. Steve was now receiving beatings harsher than Heather.
Mm.
Or just as harsh as Heather.
Where are all these kids living? Are there like 5 per room? Like,
I don't know how many rooms were actually in this house because it was modified and stuff. Yeah.
But I'm just like, that's a lot of kids.
I think the girls share a room, boys share a room.
Yeah. And they're all taking care of each other.
Yes. Hiding from the monsters that they live with. The youngest ones were spared for the most part, it seemed. So it seemed like there was like this.
It's like when they reach a certain age is when they start abusing them.
6 to 7 year, I don't know. And it depends on the child, I think.
Yeah, true.
both Heather and Steve tried running away at different times, but had to go back because they weren't able to care for themselves at such young ages. Steve was told, too, that once he turned 17, he would need to start having sex with his mother.
Why?
Because that's what his family did. That's what she did. I don't know. He's the oldest boy at this point. Like, so
Rose is having plenty of sex. She does not need her 17-year-old son to fuck her, too.
Ew. Steve was just constantly appalled by his parents.
Of course.
Like, even growing up, you're like, no, this is wrong. I know this is wrong. You can have the most depraved parents in the world, and they're still going to know that this is wrong.
Inherently within you, you're like, this doesn't feel right.
Well, we're about to fast forward. There's actually less known about these years where we do not have evidence of more murders, which I have a theory. Okay. Their last murder was Allison Chambers.
Okay.
And that was in August of 1979.
And we're now in 1984?
Well, we're going to fast forward to 1986.
Oh, okay.
She was buried in the yard. I believe they just simply ran out of room.
They couldn't have just stopped cold
turkey. No, I don't think they stopped. It doesn't make sense. They were doing it pretty...
like every few months?
Right, exactly.
For a while, it felt like.
Because their next known murder didn't happen until 1987. I don't believe they stopped.
They were killing people.
I think that there is an entire graveyard still out there that we don't know its location of.
And that's where all the bones are that he took to.
They're somewhere else completely that they started going to. Simple as that. Throughout all of the years, though, Heather still managed to be a really good student, like I said.
Yeah.
She was studying really hard to pass her CSE exams so that she could get a job once she turned 16 and leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
But like Anne Marie, she felt this impending doom that something would happen to her once she did turn 16.
Okay.
She was having a harder time keeping her father off of her, and she confided in Chris, Anna Marie's
boyfriend.
Now husband.
Okay.
They're now married. Some of what she had been through and asking for advice on how to live in the forest of Dean, which is just a forested area in the western part of Gloucester.
That's probably where they were burying all their other bodies.
That could be a place. Yep. Anna Marie and Chris married in 1985, and they had their own home now. Chris still didn't know the extent of everything, even asking Anna Marie, go speak to your parents about Heather. Like, what are they doing? Something.
And Anna Marie's like, no, you don't understand.
Both of them know that that would have gotten them killed.
Yeah, they knew better.
Heather begged to come live with them, but Anna Marie said no because it would just make them angry and they would come and take her away in a heartbeat and everybody would be beaten.
Yeah.
But Heather was a bomb waiting to go off. She couldn't take it anymore. Some children at school heard that some of her brothers and sisters were from other men.
Okay.
And approached her about it, asking if it was true. And she would say yes. She started to talk. Fred and Rose found out about it and were furious. One day, she exploded crying to her best friend, Denise, and told her everything.
Wow.
Summer was just a few weeks away, and she was terrified to have no escape from them.
Yeah.
Denise told her to tell the teachers, but Heather was too frightened. So Denise told her parents. But guess what? Her parents were close with Fred and Rose.
Ew. Why?
They were friends with them. I think it started with work.
Okay.
They worked together. So Denise's father went and told Fred what Heather was telling Denise instead. So.
Oh, no.
Can imagine how that went. Rose and Fred were growing impatient that Heather was going to talk to someone else, too, because that was a close one, right?
Yeah.
It was someone they knew.
They can't be exposed.
She was scared for her life. Her birthday came and went. So she's 16 now. She spent the entire summer applying for jobs. She just wanted something.
Get me out.
To get her out of the house. And while she was in the house, she kept to herself.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of worked herself into this, I don't know, delirium, really. She tried for almost a year to find a job, eventually signing up for unemployment in May of 1987.
Okay.
One day she applied for a job that she really, really, really wanted because it was a camp. And that would mean that she wouldn't even have to come home after shifts.
Yeah.
Because it was 2 hours away in Devon.
Okay.
But one night she got a call that she was not chosen. And she was absolutely devastated. And she stayed up all night crying into the morning.
Yeah.
Everybody could hear her. The next day on June 19th, 1987, there was a heavy rain, which meant Fred couldn't work. Heather stayed in bed. She was paralyzed with depression. Later, when she came down the stairs, she realized that she was alone in the house with just Fred and Rose.
Oh.
The other kids were at school.
Uh-oh.
It's unknown what happened, but that day One of them killed Heather, or they did it together.
Oh, no.
She was tied up before, and she was found naked later.
Oh, shit.
So something sexual probably happened as well.
Yeah.
She was their firstborn child together.
So...
and they killed her.
Fucked. I mean, everything is fucked up, but this is even a deeper shade of fucked up.
Yep. They dismembered her like the others, but it was done with an angry passion like it was with Shirley Ann.
Okay.
Later in her grave, they also found... this is fucked up. They also found some of her fingernails, but not the fingers.
Because he took those.
So ripped off fingernails.
Okay.
He decapitated her and kept small bones like he always does. But this time they didn't have time to bury her before the kids were getting home from school. So she was put in bags and put in the outside garbage tins.
Ew.
And he told the kids, don't touch those tins because they're full of old plaster. So he was trying to keep everyone away from them, but
yeah.
Didn't want her in the house. That night, he made Steve help him dig a hole in the backyard.
So Steve knew?
Steve did not know. He told Steve that the hole was going to be a pond that he was going to
install. That we're going to dig late at night.
But a few days later, Steve saw that the hole had been filled back up. He didn't know that he was digging a grave for his own sister.
Wow.
Of course, the kids noticed that Heather wasn't there. They noticed right away. And, you know, they do what they do. They lied and said that the person that called from the camp called back and said, whoops, mistake.
You got hired.
You have the job after all. And that she left that day.
Okay.
Heather's disappearance was not as easy to talk away, though.
Yeah.
Everyone was asking and they couldn't keep their story straight.
Okay.
Other versions were that she was assaulting the younger children, given a beating, and left. Another story was that she was a lesbian and left with her lesbian lover.
Okay.
Another is that she had a boyfriend and left with him.
Mm-hmm.
So worried about the constant nagging for people asking for her whereabouts, Fred decided he needed to make it a little bit more permanent and pave the backyard.
Okay.
He made the children help him. Once they were done, they had an unusual barbecue out on the patio. They put the table right above where Heather's body was. Fred and Rose said it was a celebration.
Okay.
But after coming up with the patio idea outside, he figured he should do the same to the cellar. And so he did. He created two rooms out of the cellar.
Okay.
Again, using the help of Steve and one of Rose's brothers, he covered the cellar floor in cement and then tile. But, you know, the reason is twofold. He's covering everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also trying to cordon the children off into a particular part of the house. It had everything they needed. It had the TV. It had a kitchen, bathroom. But it also allowed them to lock the children in whenever they wanted to keep them from the rest of the home. They also installed a wrought iron storm door for the front door so that it could be locked from the inside to keep their children from being able to leave.
Ew.
And this was on the ground floor, which included the cellars.
Mm, so they wanted the kids out of the way for...
more sex stuff.
I was about to say deviant.
Yeah.
Actions.
Rose was a real working lady now. Like a real one. More than she ever was before. So the first floor was turned into Rose's business.
Okay.
The rooms were decorated for her lovers and it had a full bar.
So she made her own brothel, but she's the only
like you don't woman.
Need more than one room. You can't have sex with multiple Johns in multiple rooms. Or maybe she can.
Maybe she can.
I don't know.
They might come fast and then she's like, oh, I'll be back. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
She doesn't even wash up in between. This is disgusting that like.
They might have prostituted a couple of the girls that live there too. We don't know.
Yeah. That's what my guess would be.
Yeah.
We know they were prostituting their own daughter.
True. And she's not doing that anymore. So the rooms were, well, like I said before, little holes were cut into every room so that Fred could peer in. There was a lounge where they kept a library of pornographic films. Half were their own home videos.
I keep saying ew. That's my word of the day. Ew.
Those that they purchased were the most extreme, and there were a lot with children and animals. So I don't know if I even said this earlier, but Fred was into bestiality, which he said was because of his father.
No, he didn't mention and that.
If you can't get a girl, stick it in a sheep type of thought process.
That was his dad's sex talk?
Pretty much, I think. That's where he could practice.
It explains a lot. Poor sheep.
I know, poor animals.
They didn't give consent.
They didn't. but it is thought that some might include the women that they murdered.
Possible.
And some of their own children. They finally had their full sex dungeon thing.
Dream home.
Their dream home. Ugh. With Heather now gone, Fred attempted to advance May more.
Of course.
May rejected him for months.
Good for her.
As best she could.
Yeah.
Before she met a boy herself, a boy named Rob Williams.
Okay. Run away with him. Run, run, run.
It was good timing for her because Fred was starting to wonder if she was a lesbian too.
Oh, you must be a lesbian if you don't want to have sex with your father.
That must be it.
I mean, that's the only other option.
Right.
What?
For some stupid reason, this boy moved into the home.
Oh, no.
And into May's room with her. But for May, it was good because Fred left her alone.
Good.
He was just happy that she was having sex with someone.
These people are so sex obsessed. But now
I know.
Now Rob has to watch his back because Rose will be trying to have sex with him.
It's very true. She probably would. Although she doesn't seem very interested in boys.
Yeah. I mean, she's up with the two 18-year-old boarders years ago.
She likes East Indian grown men who are well endowed and girls. Is what it sounds like.
Her tastes have changed over the years.
I don't think she liked them back then either.
Yeah, she just did it as a means to an end.
Her first was a grown-ass man. Yeah. And when she was 13, she went after grown-ass men too.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Fred and Rose liked Rob. And this was October 1988. So Rob was 18. May is now 16. Rob immediately noticed their obsession with sex. It was all they talked about.
Yeah.
Around this time, once Steve turned, I think it was 16. I don't know, but they kicked him out of the house, which I thought was interesting because you're not worried he's going to tell somebody.
Yeah.
But they kicked him out. But 16 was like this magical number.
That's like the R18 is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused about that because I looked it up and that's not it over
there. Age
of adult. It's 18. Age of adult is 18.
Even back in the 80s?
I looked at it and it said that that was even lowered from 21 years old.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just, it's like the pre-adult. Like that's when they stopped giving a shit about you.
Maybe it was different in small towns. I don't know.
Someone tell me. I didn't have time to really go into it.
It's kind of like the same thing with divorced children. At a certain age, they can decide where they want to live.
Yeah.
It's not age of consent, but it's something else.
Yeah, it's
like
something
decision
else.
Making age yeah. or something.
Because you can also get unemployment at that age.
Yeah, because Heather was.
Yeah. It did seem like there was a weird knowledge between the kids that 16 was a magical number for their parents in which life or death came into question.
Okay.
May was already 16, but because they liked her relationship with Rob,
they let her stay.
She was allowed to stay. And I would say Steve won the lottery simply getting kicked out.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there.
In reality, it seemed like they wanted to rid themselves of their children.
Mm-hmm. But as soon as she would get rid of one, she'd get pregnant with another.
She has to stop. I think it was after this last one, actually, that she got her tubes tied or something
About
happened.
Fucking time. Or like her body finally just gave out scar tissue. You can only have so many kids.
I know. Eventually, they took down all of the photos of Heather.
Wow.
Completely. And no one would talk about her except Fred. He would just randomly bring her up sometimes saying like he saw her, he talked to her. And each time Rose would like give him this death stare.
Like shut
what
up,
the
dude.
Fuck are you doing?
We've all forgotten about her. So don't bring her back up.
But whenever some of the kids would get in trouble, they'd be like, watch out or you're going to end up under the patio like Heather. So they would use it
so
as a family joke.
OK.
The kids said that they didn't know.
But
then,
Steven
but it
knew,
was
you know, like it was in his mind. Steve,
I think he would have known later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when he thinks back, he's like, Dad dug a pond in the middle of the night and then it was just filled in and then I never saw Heather again. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't take much to put two and two together.
It can be hard when you're not sure if your parents are capable of murder, though.
Yeah.
They're capable of beating the shit out of you and raping you, but they still, you
it's
know,
another
to
thing
go
to, leap.
To
yeah.
murder is different. So over the next few years, social services showed up twice. No idea who tipped them off, but somehow the couple managed to get them to leave again.
They're good talkers.
I don't think Rose is, though.
Doesn't sound like it.
She sounds like a bitch, really. It sounds like Fred is a good talker.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Rose was able to get people to leave before.
She flashed her lady parts and they were just like, okay, I gotta go.
Oh, gross. I have too many images in my head now.
She's answering the door naked. Like,
she is.
That's
she
uncomfortable.
Says,
you're like, I don't know
can
where
you
to
put
look.
Put some clothes on, ma'am.
Like, that would be weird. But then also that should make you as a social services person be like, there's something going on here if this strange woman is just sitting here naked.
Maybe her cakes had weed in them.
Or maybe she just gave free sex work. That's mm-hmm. one of my thoughts. Yeah, she's like, why don't you come in here?
I'll suck your dick if you go back and say nothing's going on. But them coming by did make them nervous. And it was getting harder to put up the facade that they're a normal family.
Yeah.
One of them would pick up the kids from school every day
mm-hmm.
and would just chat with the other parents. Just seem like
normal.
Normal. Like, I'm here for my kids. I pick them up. Rose made costumes for them 1 year.
Oh, and so now she's going to be a mom?
And then they all tried to celebrate Christmas for the first time, giving the kids gifts. But it was all an act.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were up to for these few years. They were probably doing really bad things. We can only imagine.
We just don't know. Yeah.
We don't know. In 1992, Fred's father, Walter, was in bad health.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he was taken to the hospital. Fred did not go to see him. He died on March 28th that year. And him not going to see him created a lot of tension with his brothers. Fred felt like he was winning in life. He didn't need to see his dad.
Right.
He got his bag. He left home 30 years before and managed to keep his life moving forward. He always had work. Kept a roof over everyone's head. He had his own home and he was constantly renovating. He had toilets, lots of them.
Yeah.
He wasn't living in squalor and he worked hard. He did actually really work hard.
Yeah.
And he showed his dad. And to top it off, he managed to assault many and help kill or dismember so many people.
Yeah.
And he was able to get away with it. So he felt like he was way more successful and way more of a man than his father.
He's on top of the world. He's living his best life.
Yep. But all of that is about to be challenged because someone does speak up.
Good. It's about fucking time.
Some people have spoken up. It's just nothing's being done. Someone speaks up this time and it starts the wave of what's to come.
It's going
to
crash down.
Even though we know we don't have proof of other murders during certain years, they certainly continued to assault girls, including their own children, of course. This time it was 13-year-old Louise. In May of 1992, Fred asked his 13-year-old daughter, Louise, to bring some bottles to a room on the first floor of their home. She did, and shortly after, her siblings heard her screams.
Uh-oh.
No, don't.
No.
Later, Fred returned downstairs. Louise was found by her siblings writhing in pain, sobbing that her father raped and sodomized her.
Oh my God.
And at one stage, partially strangled her. Poor Louise thought she could go to her mom for help. She wasn't home when it happened, but Rose's reply was, oh, well, you were asking for it.
Of course.
She was raped 3 more times over the next few weeks, with Rose participating in one of them. One thing I'm not sure of, if I haven't mentioned yet, is every time they did something to one of the kids in this way, Rose would take them to the bathroom for them to bathe, bleeding afterwards. Fred also filmed one of these rapes, apparently, with Louise. Sexual assault of Louise started at age 11, but as she grew up, it was more difficult to handle and more insane what they did. After the last time, Louise couldn't handle it anymore, and she told her best friend that Fred raped her while Rose was encouraging it and laughing.
So fucked up.
Her friend told her mother, and the mother called the police anonymously on August 4th.
Good.
An investigation was started and it included social services, which
has been there 1,000 times at this point.
But this time, a certain officer was assigned to the case who made it her mission to take down the Wests.
Good.
This was Hazel Savage.
Okay.
It's been a bit, but if you remember, Hazel was the constable that picked up Rena way back when she stole stuff from Anna McFall.
Okay.
Rena was trying to escape, but was found, and Hazel picked her up to bring her back to England for her trial. Back then, Rena just warned her about the Wests in general and Fred's abuse and his depraved sex habits. But back then, there weren't any murders yet.
Okay.
That we know of.
True.
That they know of. Now, Hazel was really interested. It had been 26 years, but she still remembered what Rena said that day.
Yeah, and now she's hearing more and this guy's involved again.
Yep. She was now a detective and had been for 24 years. She actually earned that rank not long after picking up Rena, which is quite something because she's a woman.
Right.
When she got the case and saw that Fred was now married to a woman named Rosemary and that they had a lot of kids, she wondered about Rena. Yeah. What happened to her? And she thought about her two children, who she was worried about back then. How did they fare? So she started looking into things. She saw the 1973 assaults that they were charged with, right up the alley of what they were being accused of now. But other than that, it was tons of theft for Fred and nothing else for Rose.
Okay.
But on August 6, 1992, cops showed up to search the property for signs of child abuse and pornography. Fred left for work while they did that, which I thought was really interesting that they would let him leave.
Yeah.
But they searched and found way more than they bargained for.
Oh, God.
A house full of porn and sex stuff. Rose was arrested that morning from the house, and Fred was arrested later that afternoon at work. Finally.
It's about damn time.
Still going to take a minute.
Oh.
But they were arrested and questioned for the assault on Louise, but boy, did they find out more. In Hazel's investigation, she started talking to people who knew them, and that included Anna Marie. She now had two children, that she had with Chris, but they were now separated, so It didn't last. And Anna didn't hold back. With her parents now in custody, it was finally her chance to speak up.
Good.
From talking to Anna Marie and later Chris still and the other kids, although the kids didn't say much.
Yeah.
You know, they're still scared that their parents would get out and punish them or kill them. She found out about the physical and sexual abuse and that Charmaine, Rena, and Heather were missing.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Marie and Chris actually spent a lot of time and resources trying to track them down, but never found anything.
Yep.
Rena was her mother and Charmaine was her half-sister. And Heather, she turned away and couldn't forgive herself if something actually happened to her. Remember, she wanted to live with her.
Yes.
But at first, Hazel didn't consider any of them dead. In fact, she just thought, well, it's imperative that I speak to them, so I need to find them.
She probably thought they were just trying to hide from Fred and
something
Rose,
like that,
right?
Yeah. For whatever reason, Rose was let go while Fred stayed in jail.
Mm-mm.
He was the one that raped Louise. So
okay, so
that after a few days, Hazel had enough to rearrest Rose. She heavily questioned Rose on the whereabouts of Heather. She kept changing her story, and when she asked about Charmaine and Rena, she said Charmaine went to live with Rena. Same story.
But where's Rena?
I know. But that was a good enough answer for now because, you know, a kid just going with their mom, they're separated, something happened. Okay, Charmaine's with Rena somewhere. But Heather's whereabouts were really bothering Hazel. There was no trace of her at all. No doctor's visits, no job history, no lodging history, nothing.
Yeah.
They let Rose go again, this time on bail. She wasn't allowed to speak with her children or Fred.
Okay.
This depressed her, and she tried to overdose on pills at one point and alcohol. But Steve found her and took her to the hospital, and her stomach was pumped. Like, you don't get to get away that easily.
No, you have to face the charges that you have committed.
Fred was still in jail, but this time as a sex offender, so it was different for him. He immediately couldn't handle it, it seemed.
Okay.
He started to crumble right away. When Steve, May, or Rob went to visit him, Fred would cry and say stuff like, I did bad things while you were sleeping.
Okay.
He also decided to come up with some story that Heather was now a successful prostitute and drug dealer.
Successful drug dealer. That's what every parent hopes for.
Don't worry about her. She's doing well.
She's making money selling drugs.
Rose was back home, and without Fred working, she needed more money. She took on a cleaning job and continued to take customers, but she didn't like to be alone. So she bought herself some fish and two small dogs, which she abused just as she did her children.
Poor dogs.
But that wasn't enough. To soothe herself, she ate way too much while watching Disney movies, Looney Tunes, and the movie Hook. Do you remember Hook?
Yeah, those are some random. She likes Disney movies.
Hook is creepy, though, because I was thinking about that. Like, Hook makes sense because he kidnapped kids.
Yeah, like, it's Peter Pan. Like, yeah.
She was living a little fantasy there, just a little bit more colorful.
Yeah.
With candy. That surprised me that she was watching movies like that. I thought they had nothing but porn in the house.
Well, oh, they did take a break every now and then.
They did take all the porn. That's
yeah,
right.
She had nothing else.
She had nothing
all
else.
All that was left was her kids' movies.
Yeah, that's true. Don't ask me why, but for some reason, Fred was transferred to a hostel in Birmingham, which had some freedoms.
Okay.
There was a curfew, but he could be out during the day.
That's dangerous. Sex offender? Let him walk around. Let's take him to a new town where there's new people for him to offend.
He was not supposed to see Rose or go home or vice versa. It was a condition of her bail that she did not see Fred. But they did it anyway.
Of course.
Would bring him lunch in a little tent so that they could have sex. And he'd go back to the house sometimes, too. But with the trial coming up, Fred and Rose were interviewed by a psychiatrist. And this is interesting because the psychiatrist concluded that they were a loving couple with no secrets.
Apparently, they were very good liars.
They're very good. The trial was set for June 6, 1993. Fred was charged with 3 counts of rape and 1 count of buggery and cruelty to a child. Rose was charged with cruelty and encouraging and enticing him to have sex with said child. But there was a problem. When the day came, the little girl was too scared to testify.
Aww.
And neither would her siblings, including Anna Marie, because Anna Marie thought, if I testify and they somehow get the kids back, they're going to hurt the kids.
Yep.
So everyone backed out. They were not convicted.
Fuck.
They got to go home. And to make shit even worse, Rose signed a document that allowed the police to destroy all the pornography, including their home videos. So
any evidence.
The evidence is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly even the murders.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So the two of them are back together. The children, thank God, were still with social services.
Okay, good.
So they did not go back to the parents. But Hazel wasn't done because she wanted to know where Heather was.
Yeah.
Social services, when interviewing some of the children, heard about the Heather joke, that she was under the back patio.
Mm-hmm.
This got back to Hazel and she was starting to think it wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
No matter what she did, she could find no evidence of Heather's existence since 1987. She was actually due to retire in a few months, but she couldn't let it go and worked for months to convince her superiors to grant her a warrant to dig up the backyard.
Good. Do it, do it, do it.
Meanwhile, Fred and Rose were like two teenagers again, holding hands, cuddling, and spending time together, doing normal things like watching TV and playing cards.
Okay.
But life was different without the kids. They were not allowed back. Rose finally convinced herself that they didn't even want to be back with them anyway. No, they don't.
No, and the kids are better off.
Although the younger kids did eventually try contacting their parents, but Rose didn't want to talk to them.
Not surprising.
So instead, Fred and Rose did what they do best and went to La La Land and started talking about starting a brand new family.
Because she just wants to be pregnant. She doesn't want kids. She just likes being pregnant. Something about it.
So weird. I know that that's a thing.
I know. I think that's part of this. It's the only thing that makes sense.
We do know that Rose was sterilized after her last child.
Thank God.
But she went and scheduled an appointment and had it reversed.
Oh, why?
And voila, Rose was pregnant. Again in
I
the summer of 1993. But I screamed when I saw this because it doesn't make sense that such evil people can continuously have children that they're just going to abuse.
Right.
But the universe was done with them as well. And she miscarried.
Good.
In December. After this, they were depressed and paranoid.
Okay.
Good for them.
As they should be.
So in the beginning of 1994, just a month or so later, one of the West kids was interviewed again by social services. And again, the child told them that they were scared to say anything because their dad threatened to kill them and bury them under the patio like he did Heather.
Okay, time to go dig in the fucking patio.
Yep. This got back to Hazel again, and she gave a final push for the warrant. This time, it was granted.
Good.
On February 25th, 1994, they showed up with their warrant. They started to pull up the concrete in the backyard, but they had to do it slowly and carefully. The first day, they didn't find anything. Fred went to the police station that night and complained of harassment.
Shut up, Fred.
They were just after them for something now because they couldn't convict them before. He ended up being held for a while, but was let go. Rose was also interviewed about Heather again, but in the house. And she was a bitch to the people investigating her, which did not help her in the long run.
No, that's not going
to
help you.
No. She was changing her story again and screaming at the officers the entire time. Steve and May were at the house at this time with their parents and were just kind of a witness to everything. A policeman stayed and guarded the soon-to-be crime scene overnight so that nothing could be done.
Yeah.
The next morning, digging continued. Fred knew it wouldn't be long until they found her and possibly the other two that are buried back there. Steve watched as his father grabbed a few things, a lighter, a wick, and flint. I don't know what he was grabbing those for. That was never explained. Confused, Steve questioned him. Fred told him that he was going away for a while to watch after his mom and to sell the house.
Okay.
Steve then watched Fred go stare out the window at the dig again, and when he turned around, his face was contorted. Steve said, "He looked at me so evil and so cold, that look went right through me." I have no idea what Fred was thinking. Maybe to protect Rose, but he went outside and told the police to take him in.
Okay.
On his way to the cop car, he yelled to the neighbors, "I didn't kill Heather." But then, once in the police car, he said, I killed Heather, but you're looking in the wrong place.
Okay.
He was taken back to the station where he told them that he strangled her and cut up her body, but killing her was an accident because he had just lost his temper.
Okay.
He told them that if you take me back, I will show you exactly where she is and there will be no need to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure the house can be sold and support my family with me in prison.
Okay.
He was trying everything that he could to stop them from finding anyone
else. All the other bodies.
They agreed to take him back, but arrested Rose again so that there was no way that they could communicate. They interviewed her again. This time she put on an act. She was quiet and crying.
Mm.
She stuck to one of her stories that Heather was gone, but then started adding more lies, that she visited Fred at the hostel. Heather did.
Okay.
Among other things. They told her, well, Fred confessed to murdering her, and then she changed her tune. Oh my God, really?
I had no idea.
Oh my God, I never want to see him again. If I do, I'll kill him. She didn't say exactly that, but it was close enough. On the 26th, the dig continued. They weren't finding where Fred said she'd be, so they expanded the search area. They came upon one bone far away from where Fred said she'd be.
Okay.
At first, they didn't think much of it because, unfortunately, you can unearth human remains all over the place there, apparently.
Okay.
Much of Gloucester was built on Roman burial grounds.
Oh, okay. If you go deep enough.
They kept it and decided to keep focusing in the main area she should be in, but also started another hole in another spot where they did find a collection of bones, hair, nails, etc. The bones were taken back to headquarters. A professor of forensic pathology was brought on to examine the bones. He was able to put the bones back together, mostly. Many small bones and a few odd bones were missing. And that other singular bone they found did not go to the same skeleton, and it was definitely not from Roman times. It was an extra femur bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was then that they realized, oh crap, there's more than one victim here.
Yeah.
Once word got back to Fred that they found another, he confessed that other than Heather, there were two more in the garden. When Rose was told that, she turned on Fred and said something was wrong with him. So now she's just completely blaming Fred.
Yep, it's all him. She had no idea. She's innocent.
Fred was officially booked, but Rose was let go on bail again back to her house to watch the digging continue. Poor, manipulated Steve and May went to the papers and said that they didn't believe their parents were capable of murder and that they supported them. It's a regret later. I also heard a rumor that that was part of what Fred asked Steve to do.
Okay.
Go to the paper, make some money.
Yeah.
Fred was informed that they were going to search the rest of the home too. So Fred decided to confess two more murders and that the girls were buried under the cellar.
Oh, wow.
And under the new bathroom addition. All while leaving Rose out of it.
Okay.
But thankfully, these cops did not think Rose was innocent. He was trying to take all the blame, but at the same time, it didn't bother him too much to give this information. He was more upset that they were tearing apart his home that he spent 20 plus years renovating.
Right.
Fred wasn't completely forthcoming, though, other than Shirley Ann and Linda Goff, both known to be associated more closely with Fred and Rose. He had a hard time remembering any of the other girls' identities.
Okay.
Rose was taken from the house. They also removed everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the furniture, cabinets.
Good.
Appliances, everything. They just wanted access to every wall and every floor. Overall, it took 14 days to unearth 9 girls at 25 Cromwell, 6 of which had no identities yet.
Okay.
What the police realized in their days and days of interviewing Fred was, 1, he was a psychopath.
Yeah.
2, he told some truths. And 3, he either had shit memory because murder was so normal for him now, or that he was intentionally leaving out details that made it harder for the police to identify them. I think it was a mixture of everything.
Yeah, when you've murdered that many people, because we know it's probably more than what they just found.
Right.
They would all run together.
Mm-hmm. At this point, Steve was, he was done. Everything came out. He went back to the papers and gave a tell-all story about his parents' sexual perversions.
Okay.
So he retracted everything. He tried to see his dad and expected his dad to tell him he was sorry.
Mm-hmm. But no,
he didn't. After searching through missing person information, they were able to come up with some possibilities, which included Lucy Partington, Mary Bostom. That's a new name.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
But I'm going to come back to her. Carol Ann Cooper and Shirley Hubbard. Eventually, they were able to confirm 3 of these girls as the remains found, but that left 3 more.
Okay.
One missing girl was brought to their attention, and this was Juanita Mott.
Yes.
Her sister, Belinda, when everything came out about the house and remembering she herself had been there before, it just, she had this gut feeling.
Yeah.
That Juanita was there.
Mm-hmm.
She gave them a picture and they realized that her facial features did match one of the skulls.
Okay.
Especially her cheekbones.
Mm-hmm.
Her identity was confirmed with her dental records. With this, they also questioned Fred, and he admitted that he murdered Juanita, and she was the one buried under the stairs in the cellar. For some, the only option was to try through dental records.
Right.
An oral biologist worked to try and identify the victims that way. By the end of March, they were able to also confirm the remains of Lucy Partington and Allison Chambers. That left two more to confirm via dental records. Thankfully, a detective from another city called in to suggest that one of the victims might be Therese Siegenthaler. Mm. It was a match. Sadly, her dad died 4 years earlier from what family said was a broken heart.
Aww.
Her brother had been searching for her for years. And lastly, they were able to confirm Shirley Hubbard. Amazingly, all now are identified out of the thousands of youth that go missing each year.
Yeah.
And with the discovery of these murders, the police started to question the disappearance of Rena and Charmaine.
Yeah.
After some investigation, they determined that the two hadn't been seen in over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He told them he would take them to where Rena was buried. And he also offered up the grave of Anna McFall, even though no one knew she was missing.
Oh, wow. He was feeling like guilt.
But he also kept saying, well, I didn't murder her, though. I didn't murder her. I just chopped her up and buried her.
Anna or
yeah.
Rena?
Okay. Anna. And it was hard to find Anna because he couldn't give a good location for her compared to Rena.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, more and more interviews were being conducted with people. It became clear to the cops that Rose was very violent mm-hmm. and sexually perverse, and the deaths seemed more up her alley compared to Fred.
Okay.
It was a fucked up puzzle to figure out. They knew that they needed to have more to keep her while they figured out her part in the murders. They received a ridiculous amount of testimony from others of her sexual sadism.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony also revealed the identity of some other grown men who frequented 25 Cromwell and participated in raping some of the young girls there.
Oh, that's helpful.
Rose officially was charged with raping an 11-year-old girl and assaulting a small boy in the 1970s. So that's interesting as a boy. Two other men were also brought up on the charges. This time she did not get out on bail and was put in prison. Now in prison, many people came forward to talk about her and all the things that she had done. Questioning Rose led nowhere, though, because she just kept saying she was innocent.
She's a liar, yeah.
But detectives were confident that they could charge her with the murders of Heather West, Linda Goff, Lucy Partington, and Caroline Cooper.
Okay.
After more discoveries, detectives ended up searching the home of John West as well.
Mm.
Whatever they discovered led them to arresting him and charging him for raping two underage girls in the 1970s. Although I believe it was way more than that and that he even participated in murder as well.
Oh, so he's fucked up.
I'm going to come back to him in a minute. Of the murders known and confessed to by Fred, that left Charmaine. They went to 25 Midland Road and he showed them where she was under the addition. Okay. He helped to put over her. They uncovered her on May 5th. And a little over a month later, Anna McFall's remains, along with her baby, were finally uncovered on June 7th. She was the first known victim, but the last to be found.
Okay.
Digging stopped 10 days later, totaling 115 days that they were digging for these women.
Wow.
Fred was charged with 12 murders, and Rose was charged with 9 initially.
Okay.
Twice they had to appear before the magistrate to hear the charges, and both times, Rose ignored Fred, even acting disgusted with him. I'm guessing it was her way or perpetuating her silly little tale that she wasn't involved in any of it.
And she was grossed out that he would ever do that.
But if there is one thing you could say about her, she stuck to this. Like, she didn't give him one inkling of, like, real Rose is here. Like, don't worry. Or, like, she didn't give him anything to
So he believed hope. It, too?
Yeah. In 46 interviews, she didn't say anything. 46 interviews. That's a long time to not say something.
Well, when you're a psychopath.
That's true. She was probably just picturing, like, sex scenes in her mind the whole time they were talking.
Who knows? Like,
and checked out. But they had loads of evidence that she wasn't innocent.
Good.
But Fred felt rejected After all their years together, she abandoned him. Fred never reached trial. On New Year's morning, 1995, he hung himself in his cell.
Oh, wow.
He did not die quickly. Word spread fast. His children cried. What a life they endured, and yet they still had love for him.
Yeah, he was the preferred parent.
Anna Marie attempted suicide.
Wow.
Rose didn't react at all. And she's no a sociopath. Tears.
Yeah. She doesn't have emotions.
If anything, he was the one that had emotions.
Definitely. She had Fred. None.
Yeah. He left a suicide note that read, to Rose, West, Steve, and May. I don't know why all the rest of them are getting.
He doesn't give a shit about the rest.
Well, Rose, it's your birthday on the 29th of November, 1994, and you will be 41 and still beautiful and still lovely, and I love you. We will always be in love. The most wonderful thing in my life was when I met you. Our love is special to us. So love, keep your promises to me. You know what they are. When we are put together forever and ever is up to you. We loved Heather, both of us. I would love Charmaine to be with Heather and Rena. You okay. will always be Mrs. West all over the world. That is important to me and to you. I haven't got you a present. All I have is my life. I will give it to you, my darling. When you are ready, come to me. I will be waiting for you.
Okay. I don't know what to say. Okay.
There's nothing to say, but no. Those were his last words.
Mm-hmm.
Fred's wish was to be buried in Mushmarkle.
Okay.
He did not want to be cremated. And he wanted a headstone that said dad, and he wanted Rose and Anne Marie to be buried next to him. Don't know why.
Well, Anne Marie was like his main girlfriend.
It was. What's up with the whole Charmaine stuff? I don't know.
Don't try to make sense of crazy people.
Okay. He wanted the rest of the tombstone to read, rest in peace where no shadow falls, and perfect peace he waits for Rose, his wife.
I hope he's not resting in peace.
Well, Steve and May did not follow his instructions. They secretly took his body from the morgue, and on March 29th, 1995, they had a small ceremony with just Steve, Steve's wife, May, and Tara that lasted a few minutes before they had him cremated.
I kind of like that. They're like, we're going to do exactly opposite of what you want.
It actually pissed off Anne Marie and his brother, but yeah. That's what happened. So to Rose, her lawyer tried to argue that there was no basis for a trial anymore for Rose. Fred was the one who admitted to everything, exonerating her. But instead of letting everything go, Charmaine's murder was added to her list of charges, which is good.
Good.
Because she did kill Charmaine.
Yeah, she did. On her own.
Rose's trial started October 3rd, 1995. It was a difficult one. There was tons of testimony about Rose and how vile and abusive and sick she was. But there wasn't anyone who could say, I saw Rose kill.
Kill them. Yeah.
I won't go over the trial here. I usually do, but there's already too much here.
Yeah, we got like, enough.
It's too much. Deliberations started on November 20th. I found it interesting because it was like it is here, like for the jury to decide the verdict of each charge. But if they decided on one, like they'd go announce it and go back.
Okay.
Do we do that? I don't think we do. Like it's all done at once, right? So let's say you're being charged for, you know.
You're saying each charge was separate?
Yeah. Like, so she was charged with different murders, right? And sometimes they throw in another one like cruelty to this or buggery to this. And if they decided on one, then they would come out and announce it and then go back.
Yeah, instead we of come out the, with everything.
Right, here. At everything. Okay. So I found that interesting. On March 21st, they found Rose guilty for the murders of Charmaine, Heather, and Shirley Ann Robinson. Unborn children were not considered as separate charges in this case.
As long as those three got her life in jail.
Yeah.
It's what happens in a lot of these serial killer cases. You go with what you know you can get.
But we're not done yet because remember,
they're going back and forth.
Yeah, they go back and forth. So those are the three so far. And I think that's just because those were the easiest ones.
Yeah.
However, the next day on November 22nd, they found her guilty of murder for the remaining seven victims.
Good.
She was sentenced to life in prison. There was an immediate appeal that she did, but it was rejected in 1996. And in 1997, her life imprisonment was elevated to include without the possibility of parole.
Good.
Which there it's called a whole life tariff.
Okay. Keep her in there.
And she was only the second woman in modern times to receive this.
Okay.
As of today, she is still alive and an inmate at His Majesty's Prison, Newhall, in the village of Flockton in West Yorkshire, England.
I hope it's a horrible, horrible prison.
Yep. So Okay. But there's still a lot of justice to be had here, or at least families that deserve answers.
Okay.
All law officials believed that there were more murders.
Yeah, there has to be.
And other grave sites yet to be identified. Fred simply confessed to the ones that he was either directly connected to that he couldn't hide, like right. His kids, Rena, Shirley Ann, and Anna McFall, or those at the property.
Yeah.
The rest he was holding on to until he felt like saying something more. He told some, but not detectives, and in taking his life, we'll never have the chance from him.
True. And Rose isn't going to say shit.
Doesn't seem like it. He liked messing with the authorities, but in the end couldn't handle that. Rose rejected him. But in prison and to others, he admitted to killing at least up to 30 women around there.
Yeah.
I would say more.
Probably like 50.
To officials, around 20. And to Steve, like he told Steve this too. He claimed around 30 to his son, Steve.
Okay.
And he also claimed to have fathered 42 children to his knowledge. It might be the damn case.
It's probably the case. That's scary that many kids are related to him.
I know. Like, I knew someone who was one of 17 children, and his dad, it was like 15 baby mamas.
Damn.
So it happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And guys won't ever know. And there's probably more if that's the ones he knows of. There's probably more because he was out fucking around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously doesn't understand birth control because he got both of his wives pregnant multiple times too. So
I'm just going to list off some other possibilities that have been brought up either by Fred himself or through police assumption.
Okay.
So, and these were from different times that we've covered in his life. When Fred lived in Glasgow with Rena, there were at least four girls who were what they called Fred's type that went missing during that time.
Okay.
Hundreds go missing in Glasgow every year, but these particular girls could have been his first victims.
Okay.
From before. Where they used to live, each tenant had some earth that they could use to plant food.
Okay. Yeah.
He only used a small portion of it and said that he was saving the rest of the lot for something special.
Ew.
Maybe that something special were the girls' bodies. And if it was, we'll never know because those homes in that area were eventually all bulldozed and a highway was built over the area.
Oh.
So yeah. What resides there now is 13 lanes of traffic.
Yeah, we'll never know.
That's sad.
It's really sad.
It's really sad. And then when Fred was living in the caravan at the Willows caravan site in Gloucester, when he was seeing Anna, there were 8 violent sexual assaults and 1 murdered between 1965 and 1967 that authorities believe Fred was involved in.
Yeah.
Because most fit his description.
Yep.
The person that was murdered was actually a young boy, though. His name was Robin Holt. He was found in March of 1967. Fred met Robin at a farm machinery plant. Fred worked there occasionally when extra labor was needed. And Robin knew Anna.
So it could have been connection that way.
Yeah.
Like that was a murder to protect himself or something.
He was probably jealous of Anna, though. Or jealous of some kind of younger relationship that maybe was brewing between Anna and Robin. Who knows? In February, Robin was found hanging in a cow shed, half naked. And there was a bunch of porn magazines all around him with drawn nooses on people's necks in the magazines. So they ruled it a suicide. But knowing Fred's connection to him and this jealousy and just his sexual crap, they are kind of tying it to him. After Anna's death, when Fred was living with Rena in Bishop's Cleeve on the lake, he frequented a cafe in Gloucester where a young 15-year-old Mary Bostom worked as a waitress.
Oh, yeah.
He also had worked at the cafe fixing things, or he had some kind of construction work there.
Mm-hmm.
She was last seen on January 8th, 1968. She was waiting at a bus stop and was going to her boyfriend's house 5 miles away. She was not considered a runaway. She had a Monopoly game with her that day, and pieces of the game were found scattered in the snow at the bus stop. Scotland Yard was called in, and there was a large search for her, but she was never found. Fred actually admitted to others while he was in prison that he did, in fact, murder her, but never directly to the police before his death. And there is no evidence other than their connection confirmed by others.
Mm-hmm.
Other witnesses came forward about seeing the two in his car at one point. and that she might have known Anna as well. Okay. I mean, a small town. It kind of sounds like.
Makes sense. Similar age.
And as we know, grabbing girls from the bus stop is what they did.
He likes that.
Steve West said that Fred did admit her murder to him as well before his death.
Then he probably did it.
Yeah. There was reason to believe that she was buried in a cellar under that cafe. And investigators actually dug it up in 2021 and sadly did not find her there. So we still do not know where Mary is.
She's buried somewhere.
Another possible murder is that of Donalyn Moore. She is still missing. In fact, after the trial, they discovered that there were 9 other women that lived at 25 Cromwell as lodgers that were missing at the time.
Oh, yep. They're gone. With.
Well, they were able to locate some.
Oh, okay.
They knew their names and they did try to locate them. Donna was one of the ones that they weren't able to locate. Donna's father was in the United States Air Force, like Juanita. But when he transferred back to the U.S., he did take her mother with him, but she was left behind, or she chose to stay. She was a teenager at the time.
Yeah, she wanted to stay with her friends.
She was a lodger there at the house. She was known by the nickname Yankee Doodle, I assume because of her father.
Probably.
There is nothing more known about her other than the fact that she's just still missing and was known to have stayed there as a teenager. So,
I mean, most likely.
Yeah. Other obvious possibilities are girls that may have gone missing after staying at Jordan Brooks' house in Upton Lane, as well as care homes in the area during specific years. As we know, the West specifically targeted girls that way. This one was difficult because once the girls are out of their care, it is not their responsibility to keep track of them, the homes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there were more than 2,000 girls to track down. There was a small team looking into this, and it took them over 3 decades to sort through.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
I know. They were able to track down the whereabouts, either dead or alive, of almost all of them, actually.
Oh, so, wow.
Except for 3. So it's possible that any one victims. Of these 3 were victims. Fred claimed that while he was staying at the hostel in Birmingham, remember, after being arrested initially,
mm-hmm.
this is in 1993, that he killed a woman in the tent that Rose brought along during their visits.
Even then?
There's nothing to support this, really, but there is also no reason not to believe it.
Right, that's their thing.
He only had to be there for headcount in the morning. Otherwise, they didn't pay attention to his whereabouts, which is ridiculous.
That's absolutely crazy.
During the trial for Rosemary, a woman named Janet Leach took the stand.
Okay.
Janet was what they called an appropriate adult. It's another word for a social worker, but essentially they're brought in kids usually or for someone that needs to have someone else there when being questioned.
Mm-hmm.
So she was brought in for Fred. She spent over 400 hours with him. He told her so much that she requested to be removed from the case, but it didn't happen. People thought that she got a little bit too close to him and fell under his spell. But okay. The truth is, it was just all too much for her.
Yeah.
And as an appropriate adult, she was like his psychiatrist and she was sworn to secrecy. So at one point, Fred felt like she was his only friend.
Okay.
But she couldn't handle it anymore. And she gave him an ultimatum. You either tell the police what you've told me or I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can't tell them.
Yeah.
So he did start talking about things that he hadn't said before committing suicide. Her role was unpaid.
Okay.
So when she was approached by the Daily Mirror to tell her side of the story in exchange for money, she agreed.
Yeah.
Which she's not supposed to do, I guess.
Okay.
And on the stand, they questioned her about this and her intentions with the information she was giving in her testimony against Rose West.
Mm.
And she freaked out. She had a stroke on the stand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, from the stress of everything. She did come back the next day, but she had a stroke and she had to leave.
Damn.
Yeah. But during the talks that she had with Fred, she mentions that he admitted to at least 20 to 30 more women that were murdered. He talked about 2 women being buried in the Forest of Dean.
Mm-hmm.
He said that women are in a well near the Berkeley Nuclear Power Station.
Oh.
He also mentioned a barn. There are bodies buried in the barn and some in the field outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
All the murders of these women were carried out in this barn. Some who have questioned how they get away with dismembering and cleaning up the blood have suggested that Fred had a second sight where he did this dismembering because it would result in a lot of blood that would need to get soaked up. It would have been everywhere.
So barn makes all a lot of sense.
Barn makes so much sense.
Some abandoned barn.
Mm-hmm. It's possible for some of the girls at Cromwell, he transported them to this barn too and then just brought them back.
Brought them back to Barry. Yeah.
But where is this farm? Janet was left with the feeling that it is between some woodland and two cooling towers in Berkeley.
Okay.
And it would make sense that they have something like a little farm to carry this out at. There was a 7 to 8 year break in their murders before Heather Ann.
Yeah.
And another break after her until they were caught. You just don't stop. They weren't stopping.
No, they don't stop.
Overall, that would be like nearly 14 years of them not doing this.
No, they were doing it.
They were pretty consistent up to 1979.
Yes.
And I think after Allison Chambers, they just felt that there were too many bodies at the house.
Yep. And so they found somewhere else.
And what is a better place than a barn in the middle of nowhere?
That's the perfect murder house.
It also makes sense given what Rose told Allison. Remember, Allison was the one that couldn't wait to go live on a farm with them.
And she said they had a farm.
Yeah. Maybe she was telling a half truth.
She's like, you are going to live on that farm. Forever.
Well, she didn't. They ended up burying her there. Yeah, but that could be a sick, twisted way for them too. Ha ha. Now you don't get to go to the farm because you're dead now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I really do think the farm idea makes sense. It could be just some.
It's a dilapidated. Crappy,
it doesn't have to be something nice.
There's that shit all over the place.
Just some kind of shed somewhere that they're doing shit in.
And nobody's going there. It's not on any land that anybody cares about. It's very easy to do that kind of stuff if you want.
And for all we know, the shed is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone took it down.
And you'll never find it.
And we'll never know what's buried under there.
I have a feeling we'll never find.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It would be very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The only option is Rose, which is not going to happen.
She's not going to happen.
Another person who came forward was a lawyer. In the beginning, when Fred was arrested, he hired the same lawyer that they had hired when they were charged with Caroline Raine's abduction, rape, and torture.
Okay.
His name was Howard Ogden. Ogden had never handled a murder case before, and it quickly became too much for him, so he backed out. But before he did, he also had the distinct impression from interviews with Fred as well that they had many more victims and that what they found at Cromwell was just the tip of an iceberg.
Yeah.
So now I do need to talk a little bit about John West. So
you've brought him up a few times.
Yeah. Fred's brother.
Too.
When Fred and Rose were arrested, John was as well. He was charged with raping two girls at the house. One of those included Anna Marie. So now her uncle, too.
Poor girl.
But his involvement, I believe, was much more than that. Lodgers did say that he was around all the time. He was a big guy compared to Fred. He was strong. He was intimidating.
Yeah.
He didn't care about the girls. Just the one character witness of the girl who got stuck against a wall from him.
Yeah.
Janet Leach said that Fred had some things to say about his brother before he died, including that John and Rose slaughtered people regularly.
Wow.
And it was Rose's thing. Now, Fred's a liar, but there might be an entire other part of this that we just don't see. Fred also offered up a weird, sick, twisted detail that makes you believe what he's saying is true, and that's that John liked the smell of burning fingernails.
So
very weird thing, but I immediately thought of Heather because her fingernails were removed from her fingers, put in the grave, but we don't have the fingers.
Yeah.
And when she asked, where's the fingers? Fred said that, quote, we do something with the fingers, which.
Okay.
What? You know, I just want to know where the bones are. I feel like if we could find the collection, it would answer more stuff as well.
The scary shit is we're going to find the collection and there's going to be like 100 bodies connected to all the bones.
It's a massive collection.
Because now we have potentially John in the mix killing people too.
I know.
That Fred may not even know about.
That's true. If Rose and him are doing it together.
In the middle of the day while Fred's off working.
We have no idea. We have no idea. We can come up with so many
And Rose is a complete sociopath that's never going to say anything until the day she dies.
Psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
Later in interviews, Fred did specifically say that John was also involved in Anna McFall and Heather's murders. I don't know about those ones.
Yeah. I don't know why he would need to be involved unless Fred needed help dismembering or something.
That's all I can think of. At one point, he tried to blame Rena for Anna McFall, that Rena killed her.
Yeah,
no, she didn't. But I think he just goes back and forth sometimes. the idea of Rena led him to kill Anna.
The thing is, when you are a pathological liar, all of your lies can start getting mixed up in your head. And that's probably what happened to Fred, too.
It's true. But yeah, Rose would have to come forward. She's not going to. And neither can John, because during his rape trial, he followed Fred's lead and committed suicide before it concluded.
Well, good. He's gone. Get more evil out of the world.
They were very close growing up.
It was hard for him when his brother died.
Well, and I think he was scared to be linked to
Rose.
Everything.
Yeah.
So him doing that just kind of makes you believe that that was the case.
Yeah, he was doing
linked
some shit
in a lot more ways.
He was dark.
He was always over there too. Come on.
He knew what was going on at the very least. And he's probably like looking through the peepholes and shit too. And he was raping his niece and maybe more other than just Anna Marie.
Right. All right. So we're just going to talk about where people are right now. Caroline Owens, she passed away several years ago, but she did testify and she was part of what led to Rose being put away.
She had her day.
She did have her day eventually. Anna Marie still lives in a home in Gloucester.
Okay.
May changed her name and moved away. She also had a really hard time accepting that her mother was a murderer despite all she did to the kids.
That's hard.
She tried to keep in touch with her mother, but did cut off contact completely at some point. The five younger kids, Tara, Louise, Barry, Rosemary Jr., and Luciana, never went back to their parents, obviously. After the arrest in 1992, their names were changed and they were placed in foster care.
Good. They have a fighting chance.
Yeah, but as you can imagine, it wasn't easy growing up.
No.
I don't know their new names or whereabouts, except for Barry. Barry came forward later stating that he actually witnessed Heather's murder at some point.
He was young.
He was young. He was 7 at the time.
But he saw it happen.
He explained how they restrained her and then physically and sexually abused her. So I don't know if one kid stayed home.
Or he got home early and saw
something.
It and was like, yeah.
And he said it was Rose that killed her.
I believe that.
He said that she stomped on Heather's head with her shoe until Heather was no longer breathing. Sadly, Barry had a rough time after everything. He struggled for a really long time and he committed suicide in October of 2020.
I mean, he saw that at age 7.
Yeah.
That would really, really mess you up for life.
He was 40 years old when he died. Steve, unfortunately, was jailed in 2002 for having a relationship with a 14-year-old girl and getting her pregnant.
Mm-mm.
They went to a clinic together for an abortion, and it was discovered that way.
Okay.
But he said going to prison saved him because up to that point, he was a mess and he didn't work through anything that he had been through. Being in jail gave him the time he needed to process everything, whereas before he just used work as a way to escape and push everything down.
Okay.
He cut off contact with his mother as well, which helped him. He now realizes that his mother was the mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Just pure evil, and his father, evil as well, of course, but to him, his father was her minion.
Yeah.
Doing whatever she wanted him to. He said that Fred was terrified of her.
Mm-hmm.
He is now remarried and as happy as he can be, much better than he's ever been in life. Some of the kids wrote books. May and Stephen West partnered up in writing Inside 25 Cromwell Street. Anne Marie wrote Out of the Shadows. I watched a documentary it was a long interview with her recounting what she had been through.
Yeah.
So you feel very connected to Anne Marie.
Okay.
Through this. I don't know if you do. Like,
yeah,
we know her whole life,
her,
right?
I feel really hard. Yeah.
And so watching her talk and talk about things that she'd been through, it was really hard to stomach.
Yeah. That poor girl.
She's been through so much.
Through it. Yeah.
They all have, but
she took the brunt of it.
Yeah. There's a lot out there on this case, as you can imagine, with it being one of the most, if not the most infamous cases Britain has experienced in modern times.
Yeah.
Rose never apologized to her children. In fact, she used any chance she could to blame them for everything, calling them names and telling them that she wishes they were never born. She's just a fucking
lovely lady. She's bad. Yeah.
And there's still people who come out and try and defend her like, you know, it's Fred's fault. He introduced her to this and he did this. And I'm like, no, she she's not good.
She was a bad egg from the beginning. Something happened when she was boiled in the womb by electroshock therapy. Something really, really, really malfunctioned in that woman's brain.
Yeah.
She's never been able to function as a young kid.
I understand what she went through, but you have to stop excusing.
People go through horrible things and don't become monsters.
This. Yeah, exactly. Health-wise, she is apparently not doing great lately, so who knows how much longer she has. But as of now, she is 70 years old and has been in prison for almost 30 years.
Good. Where she belongs.
And 25 Cromwell was demolished in 1996. Today, it is an alley that leads to the same car park behind where the home used to stand. There is also a remembrance garden there for the victims.
Okay.
Which is eerie, but better than it still being there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. The victims of this case are many.
Yeah.
The girls and the women abused and killed. Any and every person that they abused, relatives and friends who will never be able to forget what happened.
Yeah.
In their lifetime, they have caused enough damage to last generations and generations.
Yeah.
Lifelines deeply affected by their selfish, sadistic, evil, inhuman.
Every bad word we can ever think of. Yeah.
Decisions. May we never know another Fred and Rose West again, but sadly we will, and they're above us with a lot more money.
Yeah.
They get away with so much. Just every time I think of anything bad, I'm like, but it's done all the time, and we don't have any control over that.
So true and so sad.
I know. It's disgusting. Like, we've been blind to so much for so many years, but the important thing is, I think, we're more aware now than we ever been, and a lot of people are waking up.
Yes.
And that's what it takes to eventually bring people down, is just knowledge and passing that along. That's how these celebrities are getting taken down, because we're not falling for their fucking bullshit anymore. No. And you're going to get called out.
And people feel empowered to talk now.
It's a matter of time. They're not as afraid
as they used to be.
Yeah.
There is more means to get the word out. We have social media and things that you can do to get the word out there that they can't necessarily silence as easily. They're trying to.
They are trying to.
Why do you think they don't want TikTok? That's part of it.
They have like commercials now on regular TV, which only old people watch nowadays.
Yeah, and they're the only ones that believe.
They're saying, you need to get rid of TikTok. This is what's happening to your children, to your grandchildren.
Only old ass people believe TikTok is a scary place to be.
Yeah.
Only old people, like boomer generation.
Every place is a scary place to be.
Yes.
It can be. TikTok, sure. People can message you. You can put bad things out there, but that's with everything. You can do that anywhere. You can do that going to the store.
I can say that just from our experience, TikTok bans things much quicker than any of the other social media
platforms. That is true. They do ban things.
They also ban
good things sometimes. Yeah.
We were trying to talk about Hitler in one of the episodes, and
it would not let us say the word Hitler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is messed up. I should be able to say the word Hitler.
They do police it quite closely. Yes, they do. Compared to Instagram, I put up the same exact video that TikTok banned and Instagram didn't give a fuck. So yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I digress. This was a very fucked up story.
It was. There's not a whole lot of conversations to have in between it. So I hope you guys were able to follow.
Yeah, there's not a lot of comments I can make. There's no lightness I can bring to the episode. It's like there's no funny comments to be had, other than making fun of Fred and Rose because they're pieces of shit. But wow. Like, I always try to psychoanalyze people and, you know, look back and say, oh, but they had hard childhoods and all of that. I struggle to do that for Rose, even though I know she, like I said, she was born as a bad seed.
Yeah.
I think she must be, I don't know if they've ever diagnosed her, but she has to be a complete sociopath with no emotional.
She has to be.
There's no way you do the things that you're doing.
And for all we know, she is schizophrenic as well on top of everything.
Yeah, because her dad was. And she has no maternal instinct when it comes to her children.
No.
None.
None whatsoever. A lot of people say, well, if she hadn't have met Fred, she wouldn't have gone so far as to murder people. And
I don't think so.
I think she would have gotten to that point.
Honestly, in listening to the story, I think that she caused Fred to maybe get worse than he would ever have.
True.
Although he was a piece of shit too. He was assaulting girls from a young age.
He was a piece of shit too. But I think Fred would have been caught sooner.
Yeah, he was.
She was not good at things back then.
He sucked. She was the mastermind.
Yeah.
And I also think people just look at women and don't expect that they would have this level of depravity.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of have seen it so much over the years from men that we can go there. But when we look at women, we're like, no, she has 10 kids or whatever. She's pregnant again right now. She can't be doing this.
Have some kind of feeling towards them, some kind of empathy.
So it's a rare thing when you see a woman this fucked up.
But it's almost scarier because women can be more methodical and just more.
Obviously, if they don't have any.
Yeah.
If they're not in touch at all with their emotions, this is what can happen.
Ugh. Scary. Yeah. Very scary.
Well, thank you for all of the work you put into this episode. I know it took a lot and I think you did a great job. I'd never heard any of this before. And now
I can leave.
Feel like there's a darker tent to the way I view the world. But so
very
thank you
dark.
For that.
You're welcome. I mean, this is one of the worst, I think.
This is pretty, horrific.
I'm getting it out of the way so that I can cover serial killers that aren't as bad.
I have one coming up, I think, in a few weeks that
they're
I've been
bad.
Researching.
Yeah.
And he's
they're all
bad.
Fucking bad. They're so bad.
And he lived in my hometown.
Ooh.
So I'll tease that.
Yikes.
So thank you all for staying with us for another two-parter.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for sticking around and waiting a week for it to come out.
Yes. I think you understand why. Now that you've listened to it, there's no way we could have ever done justice to this kind of story.
No,
in one
you
episode.
Can't. No.
There's just too much.
Too much. Thank you for listening and come back next week for lab reports.
We have a couple of mini episodes and a couple of listener stories we're excited to bring to you guys.
Yep. Please email your stories or suggestions to lucidlabpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you would please go to your favorite podcast platform and rate us if you can. We would love to see comments on YouTube or Apple Podcasts because that is where you can leave words for us and that will help us with our exposure. We are also on all of the social media, so please go on there and follow us, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Lucid Lab Podcast, one word.
Yep.
And I'm ready to get out of this chair now. We've been sitting a while. Time for a walk.
Yes, I do need a walk and I want to eat the rest of my pizza.
Me too.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. We love you. And in the meantime,
stay lucid.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.